Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. And that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Gary Hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, he was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it. Okay.
But we got it, and all right. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Monday, the 19th of July, and okay, people are asking me, am I on the air? Yes, I am. All right, God, it's almost the middle of, it's almost football season, to tell you the truth. And, I get a lot of texts, yes, I am on the air. Okay. I'm trying to... Okay, got air business taken care of. Almost football season. And come on, you know, I'm sick. I mean, it's like sometimes you can, you know, obvious things piss me off. Okay, hot chocolate's good. The Olympics. Why? See, I know it's a catch-22, but it's going to be a disaster. I don't have to get into it. Already athletes are testing positive. I mean, if you are an amateur athlete, this is the best time to be in the Olympics because chances are the top people who are going to beat you anyway are probably going to come down with COVID and you're going to get a medal. That's how it works. Our main story today is are your household products spying on you? You're going to be really shocked at this. You're going to be really shocked at this. Could your coffee machine be spying on you or even your dishwasher? We take a look at some of the household items giving you up. And the most disturbing PC repair horror stories. You know, you people. You know, I still say the PC is a throwaway. And what I mean by that, if something's wrong with your PC, the hard drive, whatever it is, throw it away. It'll cost you just as much money to fix it than get a new one. Even if it costs you $45 to fix your computer, You can get a pre-sale computer or a better model, whatever, for another, for $110. It's a throwaway. But there's people who insist on fixing their computers. So we're going to go over those horror stories, too. And we're going to go over five things you should know about before trying to fix your computer, some of the things that morons are doing. We can go over those things, too. If you have anything, there's a lot of things going on in the world today. I'm not going to talk about dumb fuck Donald Trump because he's an asshole and an idiot. There's really no news. He's not the president. He's just an idiot. And I'm not going to go with my side and your side and this side because the people who are going to vote for the, and let me tell you, I hope he does run. I hope you morons run him, the true Trump supporters, because he doesn't have enough people. He lost twice. He lost a popular vote with Hillary and this vote here. He lost. So go ahead and run your loser. I'm a Democrat. I encourage it. Sure. Go ahead. 4 years, been impeached twice. His lawyers have been indicted. His family's probably going to jail. He's been under indictment. His lawyer, Giuliani, is barred from doing any kind of law or lawyering. You call it lawyering. He can't be a lawyer in D.C. or New York. This is this guy. So go ahead and run your guy. I hope he does run. Beat your pants off of you again. Run your loser. He doesn't have enough votes, people. He really doesn't. Now, before we get to our main story, there's some business I need to take care of. As you know, we're into the publishing and the music business. And if you're thinking about publishing a book, talk to me first. We'll talk about the ISBN number. If you're talking about music and distribution, you really need to talk to me first because my crew is on it and we move artists forward. And we'll get more to that later. If you'd like to come into the studio, boy, that's hot. If you want to come into the studio to talk to me, this is the number. 319-527-6099. That's the number, 319-527-6099. And we have one of our morning crew comes in the studio. Good morning, Miss Elisa. How are you?
Good morning, Brian.
Good
morning, baby.
Got to get your BJ in the morning, baby. You're Brian Jackson. I'm right here.
I know. Got to get that BJ.
So tell me, sweetheart, what's going on? Because I know there's something on your mind.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to share. You know, everybody know that my daughter had a loss in her family. She lost her husband. And unfortunately, a lot of things was not taken care of. So we find out on Friday that who the beneficiary is. Mm-hmm. The beneficiary turned out to be a minor.
Oh.
So he left everything. Yes. So he left life insurance in his minor daughter's name. So my daughter couldn't do anything. So we're talking with the funeral director, and he informs us, my sister's sitting there too, he informs us that a lot of people, even I, to believe that insurance, life insurance, is the only way to take care of your final arrangements. But we know we have the will in it. But we're talking about financially paying for the last arrangement. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, because my oldest son is pushing me to get life insurance. And I keep telling him, I have life insurance, but it's not the way he thinks it is. I have insurance where it has all four of my children as beneficiaries. And in other words, the money is split up between the four. And he wanted me to have it just for him in his name alone, and that ain't happening. But anyway, the funeral director said you can go straight to the funeral home of your choice, sit down with the director yourself, and make the program yourself all the way down to the food menu. And I'm just looking at him, and my sister's looking. We are just, Shantae too, just looking at him. And we're like, okay. And he's like, yes, because it cuts out the interest that you're paying with this insurance, life insurance. It cuts out your, say, for instance, at the end of your arrangements and everything, and it's time to pay, and your family don't have the money. The insurance money is tied up, just like this situation is tied up with the minor. The minor don't get the money until she's 18. She's 14 right now. So there's no way to use this money to pay for final arrangement. So he's like, you can make payments at whatever cost is up to you, whatever package. Say, for instance, you get a packet of $5,000 versus using your insurance, it's probably $50,000. Same package. So I'm like, that makes so much more sense to cut out, you know, having to pay not just the interest on your life insurance, but you could pull money off of your life insurance, and that money could not be available at the time of your need.
Sure.
So I just wanted to share that, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk about it, and I'm one of them. I don't like to talk about what I'm going to do in final arrangements, but I think it would be the best for any person to do their own arrangement, because there is no fight, you know, with it. She didn't want this. She wanted that. She didn't want, no. At the end of the day, the funeral director has everything you wanted because you put it down there, black and white. He sat with you and arranged everything for you, with you, and made sure it was what you wanted. Like for myself, I want to be cremated and my ashes put with my father's grave, because my mother was scattered somewhere in Tulsa. I have no idea where. My brother, his live-in, whoever she claimed herself to be, took his ashes because we asked her to pick it up, and she said she would. But we were trying to contact her to get with her because she was in, we were in South Carolina, she was in North Carolina. And she up and moved with no forwarding address, no phone number. And it was really hard for my sister and I because we couldn't go forth with what my brother said he wanted to us. So we don't know what happened with that. So at the end of the day, during my daughter, that this was what I wanted. He said, you can also take your ashes and put it in a little memento type thing and I want to say cement it to the headstone. So it's there, or you can have them put it, like dig it, because he said you have one urn that could be buried in a burial. As far as this South Carolina state law goes. North Carolina may be different because that's where my dad's remains are. So, I mean, it's difficult, but if you do it now, it will be so much easier on your family. I mean, my daughter's going through hell right now. You know, I feel so bad for her because every avenue that we went through that had her supposedly attached, as far as, I'm stuttering now, I mean, hold on a second, it's fairly, as far as my daughter being the wife, now widow, she's supposed to have so many things there in place for her, and that was not the case. There was no life insurance for her to deal with his remains. There was no, well, in the beginning we thought there was no home insurance to take care of his mess that he made. You know, I say mess because it was a suicide. It the sheriff's department spoke with his parents and gave
right.
his parents a final, which was good because they tried to say that in their hearts they thought LaShawn Tate, my daughter. I keep thinking we're on our actual personal phone. We're not. We're on the radio. Anyway, I keep forgetting. She had something to do with it, and she didn't know anything. It was in the dark.
Right.
So they asked her, if he used his left or right. She didn't find out until after the parents told her that the
uh-huh.
sheriff's department said that it was self-inflicted. He did it himself. So,
okay.
Which made that.
I mean, that's good. So there's no investigation on her. I mean, this could have gone wrong,
yeah.
you know?
Yes. And they did ballistics, or what is it, forensic ballistics. They did all that. They tested her hands at the scene. So she was cleared right then.
Right.
But the thing was the parents, for some reason, felt like that was wrong. And they didn't
mm-hmm.
get the right information. So it took the sheriff's department to give them the correct information. And I'm
mm-hmm.
like this, if she didn't see anything, she would have told me. I mean, she was
right.
in a disarray that night. And she still is. She's what they call shell shock or PTSD. She jumps
right.
when she hears popping now. And she don't sleep through the night without a light on. So I have to sleep with a light on, and I feel bad for her because she's going through, and there shouldn't have been no reason for her to be excluded from taking care of his last remains. And I was saying that with the house, the cleanup alone was $34,000.
That's what I was thinking.
Can you get that?
Yeah, who's gonna pay for that?
I never had to deal with anything like that, and I never had imagined that it cost so much to do that type of cleanup. And
right.
The people did very well. There's no evidence of anything, and that's good because she needs to sell the house, which is another story.
Right.
So the insurance, it was through their mortgage now.
Mm-hmm.
The house, her name is not on the deed or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So by things going the way that it was, she had to pull some strings in order to get this cleanup, or my daughter would have had to pay that $34,000. She
mm-hmm.
didn't have $5,000, letting on $5 to pay anything.
Right.
So, I mean, when a person does suicide, it leaves it in the family's hands, and that's another story to tell for when it's a time for suicide talk,
mm-hmm.
not just think about, getting counseling for a person who's saying they want to commit suicide, but if you put it in their head, listen, you may be relieving yourself, but you're putting
mm-hmm.
your family through so much. You don't know what they have to deal with after you're gone. Not just heartache.
That's true.
Not just heartache, mental instability, financial hardship. It's so much they have to go through. And so for my daughter, thankfully, her stepdad stepped in for her. She won't go back to the house to stay. So he paid for 2 weeks of her hotel stay. And that was over $1,000-something. So it's coming out of people's pockets, not just
right.
the loved one, the wife or the husband or girlfriend, or whoever's taking care of the final arrangements. It's not just them.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are pitching in to make sure the person that's affected, the closest by it, is going to be okay. So
right. No, I don't know what came on.
I don't know.
I have no idea what's playing.
What that was.
I have
but,
no
yeah,
idea.
Basically it.
Okay.
Funny.
Wow. I'm telling you, kiddo, it's expensive. People don't realize how expensive
yeah.
it is. And you should get, people should get life insurance for any other reason, to take care of their funeral planning and take care of people you leave behind. It's very expensive.
Well, it's two different things. Life insurance, okay, can be used, like for this instance, for the minor. So the money went to the minor, okay? Could have been $200,000. All of that went to the minor, no problem. But if he would have sat down with the funeral director prior to him doing this to himself, say, for instance, when his baby passed away, if she and he would have sat with the funeral director then and made out arrangements of their own together and making payments on it, all she had to do was complete the payments, because it wasn't even a year after the baby had passed away.
Right.
So his final is like 5,400. Did I say that right? No. $5,400, some change, something like that. So if he would have did that, then she wouldn't be having to go and find other avenues to get this paid for, if that makes sense. Life insurance is good for people who want to leave their family members a chunk of money. That's all it is.
Right, right.
Okay. Now, if it's done properly and with the right beneficiary, and that beneficiary is an adult and will do the right thing, then it's cool. But if you have trifling folk like this man that put my daughter in the position that she is in now, then you need to sit down with the funeral director and do it yourself, so you won't put it on somebody else, a burden, you know, as they're trying to grieve. She's grieving. She shouldn't have to go through all these hoops in order to get this stuff taken care of. It's all I'm saying.
I agree with you. You know, it's funny. Good morning, Ellen. Ellen's here, and, of course, you know Miss Lisa.
Good morning, Ellen.
Hey.
You know, it's like, you know, it's hard to talk about death and and the financial burden it leaves upon someone. I don't know. I want to be cremated or buried. I don't know. I hear you guys. Well, you know, you're not in your body. You guys don't know. You have no idea. We don't know where we go. I mean, people think, well, you travel out of your body. I have not seen it. And there's been nobody that came back and did a talk show saying, yeah, I left. You know, I saw my body there, blah, blah, blah. I know. And I don't want to be trapped in a box and, you know, I'm at the party and everybody leaves. I'm going, hello, hello. I don't know. I don't know if I want to be cremated, because I don't, just the thing of me, my feet getting close to the fire, I don't know. Have you decided what to do?
I think that the best thing, I mean, only because I've already been through, I shouldn't say so many, passings, family member passings. I know from how I had to handle my brother, my father, my mother, you know, and I know how my mother's brother, my mother had a brother and a sister who also passed, she had a sister who passed after her, and a brother who passed after her. So the brother didn't have any insurance, okay? And so he left like a will of some sort, I don't know, to his stepdaughter.
Right.
He took care of everything. He had natural children, but they didn't want to have anything to do with him, so he had it sent to whatever his requests were, to his stepdaughter.
Right.
Now, my aunt, who is also my mother's sister, she was living with her daughter. So her daughter took care of everything and just, you know, told me what her arrangements were. Now, it's not always that easy. For me, I just simply told my children, this is how it is and this is how it's going to be. Whether you think I have money or not, it's going to be taken care of, because at this point, after seeing what my daughter went through, I'm going to sit down with the funeral director, whether I like to be cremated or not. I'm going to at least start making payments on an arrangement. So whoever is appointed at the end of the day to take care of, because I know it's probably going to be my son that I live with in Louisiana. He's still in the military. It's probably going to be my middle son because he has the most level head at the moment.
Right.
So he would probably follow through with that. But as far as life insurance, again, I have four children with their names on my life insurance. They will get a portion of it. No one will get the full amount because you don't know what that one person is going to do. You know, I love my children, but they have their own minds. They'll do what they want to do, right? So I don't know what anybody else would do with their family members, but if you have one to deal with, one child, all it goes to one child. But if you have a beneficiary of one child, who's to say that one child is going to separate that money with the rest of them?
Right, right.
Money can
cause
a lot of greed. You never know.
Money does. That's why I'm going to make sure I die broke so I don't give my family any problems later. That's my deal.
You so silly.
You know, I heard, you know, there was weird things. This guy, when he's talking about weird things people do when they cremate someone, he actually had people smoke them. I mean, he got his ashes, rolled them up in a joint, and they smoked their dad. They actually did that.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is disgusting, but I have that story.
That's gross.
I know it's gross. Heard that story that they smoked the kids, rolled them up in the bong, and each one took a hit. Say, like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Dad. I mean, they smoked them.
No.
And but you know, but they don't understand the chemicals. Right? Can you know the they don't understand the chemicals that will take the, you know, to get rid of the body.
Embalming fluid. Not embalming fluid. They only do that if it's
everything.
Wait. It's only if there's a viewing, because he talks about that too. She could have did both, the viewing and a cremation. So if she would have did it early enough, she would have been able to have a body viewing, but they would have embalmed him first, right?
Right.
And then after the viewing, they would have cremated him. So if one wanted to smoke the ashes, it would have had embalming fluid in it. Depending on which one they chose.
Was
so,
that formaldehyde?
No.
Formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde.
Right. How about you, Ellen? Cremation or buried in the dirt? What are you choosing?
I have no idea. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah, you better think about
it quick. It's like when you go through what we're going through right now, it'll help you decide.
Right.
I'm just saying.
It's expensive
it will
to
help
bury
you decide.
Well, the money will. Money helped us decide it. It's really expensive for someone to actually be buried. I mean, it is really expensive. And I don't know, sometimes I don't know if you have to maintain, I lack of any word, property tax if you're buried somewhere. Do you have to maintain, you know, the rent of the dead body in that place? I don't know.
They have caretakers that take care of the cemetery.
Yeah.
I just imagine that caretaker pissing on my grave when nobody's looking. I'm just going to leave yourself. You know what I mean? I just imagine dirty stuff happening to me.
I mean,
even when I'm dead,
I imagine. You talk about a funeral is expensive. Cremation's not exactly cheap either.
It's not?
It depends on how everything goes because, honestly, when I cremated my brother, it was $800. Just that.
Wow.
Because we.
Wow.
That's all it was. And I don't
know.
That's
a lot of money.
Was it a funeral director?
I could have got a TV.
For some who don't have it. For some who don't have it. And I think my mom was about that less as well. But she had a tiny life insurance policy, and she left it to a friend of the family. The lady met me first and then became friends with my mom. And my mom made the woman the beneficiary, which was crazy because we didn't realize that. And from what my mom told us, the grandkids were supposed to get money from the life insurance, but the grandkids did not. So it was a mess, but not as bad as what my daughter is going through. At least at the end when we found out who the beneficiary was, the woman did send my brother and sister and I $2,000. And I
That's
guess
not bad.
That was her way of saying, well, that was, I guess that was her way of saying, split it up with your children. I don't know, but I'm like, hey, I got four kids. My sister
right.
only had
That's
one
not,
at the time.
I wonder how much
I'm like, okay.
Right, unless it's life insurance was $100,000 and you guys got $2,000, but hey, you still got something.
Well, the crazy part was we never knew what the amount was. She wouldn't tell us.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying
is when you have life insurance policies like that, you got to be careful
mm-hmm.
about who you make the beneficiary. And,
right.
you know, this lady,
but, you know,
she only knew.
Married to your daughter, wouldn't it make, what's going on with that? Wouldn't she be the primary?
I'm going to tell you the truth. The man was not all there because of his drug addiction and his being an alcoholic. For some reason, he thought my daughter was cheating on him from the rip.
Mm-hmm.
This was before they married. I mean, it was
mm-hmm.
going on for a good while. And so towards the
mm-hmm.
end, he just would not believe any word anybody had to say. So
mm-hmm.
I lie to you not, when he put me out. So when I left, I was not even gone a week. And my daughter told me they were arguing again. And
mm-hmm.
well, it's not again, but they were still arguing. And he was still arguing
mm-hmm.
about the same stuff. So he, in his mind, thought she was cheating on him. So I took it as if he cut her off from everything because he wanted to make sure she wasn't going to go and live the high life off of his death. I don't know. All I know
Could
is
be.
Signs point
yeah.
to him. Yeah, signs point to him saying, I'm not leaving you shit. I don't care if you are
right.
my wife.
Right. Bastard.
That's what it looked like.
Well, good thing he's dead. May the devil rest his
I hear you, Brian. I wouldn't say that
yeah.
about her, but sometimes I told her, I said, listen, he relieved you too. You were
mm-hmm.
going through so much with this guy. He went through, hallucinations of someone being in the house. He's running through the house with the gun. And that's when I found out he had this gun. Thinking that whoever this fictitious person is, you know, that
mm-hmm.
she's cheating with is in the house. And I'm like, listen, if he points
Hi,
a
George.
Gun and turns out it's my grandson is tall. I'm talking about
right.
he's almost 6 foot. If
right.
he points this to, because my grandson decides to go get some water in the middle of the night, he kills an innocent child because he thinks that there's somebody in the house that shouldn't be in the house.
Right.
And I told her that this man should not have a gun in his possession because of his stability. He's not stable. I lied to you not. It wasn't even a week before I left their house. She's on the phone crying.
Well, is she on the phone crying now?
Huh?
Is she crying
is she
right
what?
Now? She's on the. Is she on the phone right now crying?
No. She calls me to let me know that, you know, he's
yeah.
out of stuff.
Well, she lost somebody that she didn't.
Oh,
she
yeah,
lost
she's
somebody
still
that
crying. She's still crying.
Yeah. She lost somebody that she loved.
Yeah,
she will.
Most definitely.
Well, it'll
Brian,
take
Brian,
some time.
You know what?
Mm-hmm. What?
Lisa was saying something about, you know, her daughter's husband shouldn't have a gun. Well, I'm
mm-hmm.
gonna tell you something that's going on starting tomorrow
mm-hmm.
here in Louisiana. And Lisa, you might have been hearing about it. Tomorrow they're starting
mm-hmm.
a veto session. They're trying to veto a bill that Governor Edwards signed into law saying that you know, he does not want this law to pass about, you know, people can, anybody in the state can get a gun and they don't have to go through a background check. They don't have to go through the training and they, you know, it doesn't matter. Anybody can get a gun. And the legislature is starting a veto session tomorrow saying that, you know, it's unconstitutional. You shouldn't be doing this. We need to veto this law. Really? I don't want a bunch of crazy people running around with a gun in their hand that has no training and no right to have one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely right. And I agree with that. I mean, there should be...
I clean my gun every month.
You're so stupid.
You are so retarded, Brian.
Hey, I'm a respectful gun owner. But it's true. It's hard. It's not the guns. It's the mental illness that we're not addressing.
It's the people who carry them and who feels like they have the right to raise them. I mean, if you have a gun, no one else should know you have it.
Right. And you know the argument about, well, you should not sell to mentally ill people? Well, maybe when a guy bought the gun, the motherfucker was not crazy. He got this crazy when he came home and shit made him crazy.
That's not true.
You know, I know if you have a history of mental illness
because
and blah, 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 blah. You
right.
know.
Because he had already been committed. Right? He had already been committed. And there was no reason for, I don't know
if he
got
he already been committed.
There is no reason.
I mean, they should have, the mental health authority should, as soon as you commit someone, the first thing they should do is take, it should be part of the, it should be part of the thing. You commit somebody to a hospital, you should, if you have a weapon, you should get,
It is part of the thing. I mean, if you're a convicted felon, you are not allowed to own a firearm at all.
But if you've been committed,
that comes up in your background check, and they won't let you have a gun.
Wow, they must have missed it with him. I don't know if he got it before or after.
Didn't you say that he worked for the government? That should have been something they caught.
I don't know if it's a part of the government. I do know it has to be. It has to be because he had a high security clearance. And I'll just go ahead and tell you because the man is on it. Don't matter anymore. He works for Boeing.
Boeing? Yeah, they have to have an extensive background check.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have to have extensive background check.
Well, that's probably how he got it because, dude, I'm telling you, dude got fired at least, I want to say safely, three times. And the manager, his supervisor and manager kept bringing him back. In the last go-round, he had an outbreak at work, and they had to hold him down, and they shipped him to the crazy house. He was in the crazy house for about a week and a half, if not that long. And when he came out, still all hell breaking loose. And I'm like, what is wrong with this dude? I don't know. All I know is I told my daughter before I left, if you feel like you and your son are in any kind of danger, you call 911 first and then call me. And that's what she did. She called 911 first and then she called me because the police and the ambulance were working on him when I was on the phone with her. And I didn't know what to do. I was like five and a half hours away. I hopped in my car and started driving. I didn't get there until like 4 in the morning. Crazy. Y'all there? Oh, it is Alisa morning show with Brian Hammer and Ellen.
I am here.
Oh.
Yes. I'm just listening. I was making a cup of coffee. I was making a cup of coffee.
I was making coffee, too.
Yes.
Did you hear what I said?
No.
No.
I said, good morning. This is the Alisa Morning Show with Brian Hammer and Ellen. And I was going to say Ellen Jackson as co-host.
When did she become a Jackson?
Oh, my God.
I know. That's true. Well, thank you for that, Lisa. But no, thank you for that information because people
leave me on air by myself.
It's good to have you. But yeah, people should prepare for death,
mm-hmm.
and it's an unfortunate thing, but it's expensive, and the people who you leave are going to be burdened with your dead ass.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some expenses. They're going to come after you with collections and all this stuff and mortgage. There's a lot of shit that they'll come after you.
If you're prepared, then you shouldn't have any debt after. You know, if you have life insurance and you have, you know, all this other stuff, then the life insurance will take care of that stuff that you leave behind.
That's right. That's right.
I got this life insurance I pay $5 a month for. That's right. What is it? No, 15? No, 20? Oh, who cares? I stopped paying anyway. I'm not going to die. I just
you know what I said?
You ain't going to get shit. You ain't going to get shit.
I'm dead. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? I'm dead. Who cares?
Your family cares? They don't want to be burdened with your shit.
They just bury me in the backyard like I requested. Done.
Really?
Look, I ain't got no bills. Thanks to credit, I want to buy a house, and I done paid all my bills, so there is no bills to be paid now.
Right.
Thankfully to that. So
I'm done.
I mean,
I'm done with this life. I'm on to the next one. In fact, I'll probably be reincarnated and visit my own funeral, see how it's going. Hey, I don't know the dude, but he sounds like he's a great guy. Exactly.
To buy a house and everything? And that house ain't paid off by the time you die. Your children are going to have to pay off the mortgage, and they're going to have to pay off the taxes and everything unless they sell it.
Well, you know what?
You know
good
what?
For them.
Good for them. At least they get
they're the bastards that put me in a home. Bastards.
All right. All right.
I mean, they don't visit. They don't visit me or anything. I'm not going to. You really think I'm going to leave them anything? I mean, I'm making friends with my roommate who's half dead. They're kids. They visit her, and those are the people who say hello to me. My kids don't visit me. They always have to – they complain when they – oh, are you going to visit him this month? No. Are you? No. I'm there with a fern. No, that's why I'm not having them, because I don't want them visiting me, those little bastards. I refuse to have them. No.
You refuse to have children.
God said something to me when I was a child. Jesus came to me and says, first, quit playing with yourself. And the second thing he said, you're not going to have children. I go, what? The world's going to have a plague. The world's going to have wars. They're going to have this. God forbid, we're not going to survive your kids. I accept it. So I adopted Cindy's kids. I did.
Okay, well, you still have kids. You adopted Cindy's kids.
I did. Mm-hmm. I adopted kids. That's what you should do. Borrow somebody else's kids. And that way you have no responsibility.
They're still your kids if you adopted them.
Huh?
They're still your kids adopted them.
Well, they just humor me. They don't really like me.
Well, you know what I found out? Erin said that her and Aiden are going to put me in a home when I get home.
They will. That's what the kids do. They look forward to that.
That's right.
They do.
Giving you forewarning. You listen to them.
And they're not going to visit your ass either.
Nope. Ask my 91-year-old aunt. She'll tell you. They're not coming to see me.
I don't tell you. Nobody visits my ass. I don't know why you have kids.
She complains
all
the time.
Yeah,
did you
want to
clone me?
Hmm? That's and there's
why
nothing
you have
but
kids
problems.
To do our chores.
Nobody who have kids are very happy. You know when they're happy is when the kids have grandchildren. That's when they're happy.
Yes.
But they, it's
yes.
never the kid that you had, you know, the original kid. It's like, this is the one that caused me problems. This is the one that hates my mother. This is the one that hates my father. This is the one who's doing this and this and this. And as soon as she has a kid, it's like, oh, my God,
oh.
grandbabies. You know what I mean? Grandbabies
yeah.
are the ones that parents love. Not you, little kids.
Because they're young and they're innocent. They're back into that stage where they're the cutest. They don't talk back to you. You know, and then when they get a certain age, I don't know, my grandkids are still young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying that they don't be like some of their parents, just talking back and acting stupid and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, you know what? You know what, Lisa? You might as well put that thought out of your mind, okay? Because children do as parents do. You
yeah.
know that old saying,
well,
I hope your kids grow up to be just like you. That's
mm-hmm.
the person
that
our parents put on us.
I did that.
You know,
my mom did it to me too. So yeah, you're right.
You know, I have
right.
a thing how who I'm going to leave my money to. If I had kids, let's say I had three kids, and I would do a test. When I'm in a home, I'm going to shit myself, and the first one that changed me is one going to get the money, and I'm going to see how long they leave me in my diaper because I'm looking at this. You know what I'm saying? And the first two are out of the room, but the one that stays, you're going to get my shit. You're going to get my money. Because you're the one.
Well, you know what?
Brian,
I've got news for you,
okay? If you're shitting on yourself in a home, then you ain't got
right.
no memory of your kids.
Hey.
I'm with you on that, yeah, Brian. I'm a test
yeah.
theory. I'm going to act like something crazy with me.
Act like something crazy.
Know. I already
and
know.
Change mama diaper. Who wants to change? Yeah,
oh.
let's see who raises her hand. Who wants to change mama's diaper? Let's see the hands go up. I mean, that one kid will say, I will do it. That's the one that's getting my money. The rest of y'all, suck my
mm-hmm.
ass. All right, here we go.
My daughter probably do it, but my son probably wouldn't.
No,
but,
no.
Hey, y'all.
They'll leave you in a corner with the flies. All right. All right, Miss Lisa. Good to hear your voice, baby.
Good day going.
Yeah.
You guys, too. And thank you for letting me share that information. Hopefully somebody was educated
right.
like I was, because I'm like, what?
Right.
You know, I right. didn't know anything about prepaying. And
right.
it sounds like it's very affordable. And it's better to have that than to be like, oh, you got any money to help bury her? Oh, I don't have
right.
any money to bury her. And, you know, and
uh-huh.
if you take care of yourself ahead of time, I could be living for the next 20 years and it already be paid for. I can get it paid for within a year. You know, it's just that cheap. I shouldn't say that cheap. I could pay off something, $5,000 in a year. That's what my daughter's husband's funeral arrangement is, $5,000 and change. So I could pay that off. But when you got life insurance and you're just making monthly payments and,
right,
you know, suicide, I think, if I'm not mistaken, insurance will not pay if it's suicide.
No,
if I'm not mistaken.
No, they won't. Yeah, they won't pay if it's suicide.
Okay. Well, this insurance that his daughter got is through his job. So hopefully they don't cut her off. And what I heard in the conversation, she's still going to get it. But I know it stopped my daughter because she had a protection thing on her car if something happened to either her or her husband. And they said because it was suicide, no, it's not going to get paid. And I'm like, wow.
Right. Right.
That's messed up. But that's
I mean, yeah, his daughter better check and make sure because I know if it – I've never heard of insurance policies paying off if it's suicide. They always decline it.
No, this is through his job. It was a.
I know, but she better still make sure. She still better make sure.
Well, I'm. Let's just put it like this: my daughter was on the phone with the people to try and get information for herself, and then she
mm-hmm.
asked for the young lady. Once we found out that the minor was the primary of the beneficiary of his life insurance through his job. And so I keep saying through his job because there's different ways of getting life insurance. So being with Boeing, they have different protocols and requirements. So the mom of this child will have to get the information. But from what we understand and what the woman explained to us, my daughter, is that her monies will go into a trust until she turns 18. So if she was not entitled to money, she would have told my daughter then and there, just like she told my daughter that my daughter is not the beneficiary, you see. So she told my daughter that the mom of the daughter, his daughter, will have to call and get it set up for her. But she may get something for Social Security by being a widow. But we have an appointment for that to see.
Well, I hope she does get something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's always great to hear you, Miss Lisa. Visit more often. There's a
you
welcome mat.
And,
all right.
You guys,
baby.
Too.
Hey, how you like my morning voice, Miss Lisa? Like, hello, Miss Lisa.
Just baby. Just
yeah, look at you. Go, look at you. Go. Who's a naughty boy? Who's a naughty boy?
Go on the corner and sit down now.
I know.
Bad boy you.
I know. Well, I got some good things going on. That's yeah. We're going to talk. We're going to talk. We're going to talk about your musician friends, and we're going to talk about money. I think we have another thing coming up, so I'm going to get in contact with you.
I wish something would be kicked in, because I'm like, this little security thing is for the birds. I don't know how anybody can live off $1,000 a month. That's crazy.
I know. It is crazy.
Especially with the pandemic. You try what my mom gets. She only gets $700 a month.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
That is.
She probably worked the hardest when she was working.
She
put in as much time as she did, as she could.
She did.
She get hurt, and they're like, F you go on with your broken down self. We can't use you no more. We'll give you $100.
That's true. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame. Well, we're going to take care of that, and we're going to have a talk, you and I, off air.
Okay.
See what we can do, because
okay.
I'm always doing things.
Okay.
And Miss Lisa, everybody, the original morning crew, as we know, Miss Lisa, and
thank you,
and Miss Lisa, you're welcome. Anytime that you need to talk and come in the studio, thank you for sharing that information. Seriously, because people do need to be aware, and the financial burden it can have if you're not leaving people with the right thing when you die. Well, we're gonna, onto our show. I'm looking at Miss Lisa. I like what I'm seeing. On with our show, are your household products spying on you? And I know that Ellen has some problems with her computer, and she's talking about taking it to the store. And we're going to talk about the most disturbing PC repair horror stories and things you should know before you try to fix your computer. So we're going to go with that. There's a lot of other stuff that's going on in the news that we'll try to hit in between. You're listening to me, Brian Hammer Jackson, and we'll be right back. And Miss Lisa, thank you, baby. And Miss Lisa's leaving, Ellen's going to be here. And if you want to call me, it's 319-527-6099. I'm doing my first podcast, so don't forget to watch for that. You're going to love it. My first podcast is going to be The Psyche of a Serial Killer, full of me reading, and there's going to be some music in the background, and then I'll make the voices like, hello, are you alone? I'm a serial killer. It's going to be really good stuff.
I got to figure out how to listen to that, because that's going to be fun.
You know, it's a lot of true stuff, but there's going to be some silliness in between, like the voices and everything.
Okay.
It's like, hello. All right, so don't forget Brian the Hammer's podcast that you'll be able to see. And Miss Lisa will be probably doing some stuff for us. And when I talk to her,
okay,
I'll make it known. All right, baby. And now we're going to take a little break. Uh-huh. And when we come back, our main story, uh-huh, are your household products spying on you? Is your dishwasher and your coffee machine spying on you? Guess what? Ooh, you go, wait till you find the answer on this. We already know the TV does. We already know Alexis does. If you don't know, uh-huh, Alexis is spying on you, then you're from another planet. Every time you ask Alexis, and it's already been documented that the people are listening to you in your home. And we already know that.
Oh, man.
We already know that if you have a newer car, that there's a device on your car, mm-hmm, for insurance purposes, that when you get in an accident,
okay,
they can tell you where your car has been, how fast you went, where did you,
uh-huh,
drive.
Uh-huh.
It's in your car. Uh-huh. It's already a GPS in your car right now, and they're spying on you there. So we already know that.
Wow.
But what about your,
uh-huh,
what about your coffee machine, your
coffee
dishwasher,
mm-hmm,
your refrigerator? What about those things?
Uh-huh.
Wait till you hear this story. You'll be shocked. You'll never walk in your house naked again, I promise you. All right, you're listening to Hammer
96.7. Let me put some clothes,
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I know. It's too late. I'm making friends with your refrigerator. Woo-hoo!
Oh,
thanks for the pictures, refridge.
I know, right? Dang.
Yeah. Believe me.
Well,
you
know
it's
what?
Funny when people...
Mm-hmm. You know what? I have just a regular old over-the-top freezer refrigerator. Nothing,
yeah,
nothing digital, nothing. Just a regular old refrigerator.
Yeah. Well, sooner or later, that will break down, and you're going to get a new one, and all the new ones have this equipment. Wait till you find out what's going on there. All right.
Hmm.
We'll be right back. I'm getting more coffee if you'd like to come to the studio. Again, the number is 319-527-6099. Ellen J. is here, and also the lovely Lisa, and we'll be right back. You know, I had an argument with somebody, and setting up this little break, and they're talking about the Internet and blah, 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 and it's bad. I said, you know, the Internet was made for porn. I mean, I know it's supposed to give you some information, but as soon as the Internet came on, and you know that, you know the pervert going, yeah, I mean, nobody buys porn magazines anymore. I mean, I'm
no.
a member of Pornhub. I get the daily updates. I do.
You do?
I, oh, my God. You know, I look. You know, there's some places that I shouldn't look, and I shouldn't look because I don't want to see. But
you do.
It's something I will never see.
But you do.
And I can't get this out of my head, Miss Lisa and Ellen. This is I did this 3 years ago, and it's still in my head like it was yesterday. And it was 75-year-old porn. You know, these people are senior porn.
God.
And
senior
I have never
porn.
Seen that before.
Oh, my God.
Senior porn. I said I shouldn't, but I smoked some marijuana, and since then I sued the company. So I think so I went there, and I go, oh, shit. And
home.
Then I see this old guy, I swear to God, he's on a bed, he looks like a horror movie, his mouth is open, I think they're going to bury him, and then, I swear, I am not exaggerating, I'm hearing this woman with a walker, and she's walking inside of the bed with this long nightgown, right, you know, like, it was like this creepy thing, and the sounds always get to me. Yeah, but the sounds get to me. And it's a sound like she put down her walker, and then you hear the foot. So I'm hearing this. I'm going, oh, shit, like horror film. She finally makes it to the bed, which took 5 minutes of my time, and slowly crawled in there. And he's just lying there with his as stiff as a board, like a zombie. His mouth is open. And I'm going, what the hell is going to happen here? And she gets on top of him, and all of a sudden, life, he comes to life because his body jerked up like you did the chest compressions, that, you know, when somebody's going to breathe,
yeah,
and, like, you know, the shock paddles. Boom, that's how his body popped up. And then I'm hearing, it's like, what is that? And then she was doing all the work because I knew he was alive because his head kept going bouncing back and forth. And then when she was done, it was very interesting. She climbed off of his body, true story, climbed off his body, wiped herself and threw a tissue at him. and walked away. It's like, oh, man, that's it. And I still had the nerve to go, show me titty. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
I'm in it for the titty.
We may have to get you checked out.
We do. I told you I would love to go to Bellevue for the weekend. I can enjoy the room. I get free medication, room and board. I get the meals. I'm sure they serve the meals there. And for the weekend, I think I have a great time. I really think I would. I can talk to interesting people. I see nothing wrong with that. All right, when we come back, our main story. Is your washer and dryer or your curling iron spying on you? We'll give you the right answer. And when we come back, and you're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio, along with Miss Ellen and Miss Alisa. We'll be right back.
The whole lesson all by myself.
And I'm going to teach something relevant, something modern. The Internet. The Internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I've got a fast connection, so I don't have to wait.
For porn.
There's always some new site.
For porn.
I browse all day and night.
For porn.
It's like I'm surfing at the speed of light.
For porn. The Internet is for porn. Why, you think the net was born? Porn, porn, porn.
Trekkie.
Oh, hello, Kid Monster.
You are ruining my song.
Oh, me sorry, me no mean to.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, please, being quiet for a minute so I can finish.
Okie dokie.
Good. I'm glad we have this new technology.
For porn.
Gives us untold opportunity.
For porn. Oh, sorry.
From your own desktop.
For.
You can research, browse, and shop. Until you've had enough and you're ready to stop.
For porn. The Internet is for porn. The Internet is for porn. Keep me up all night hugging me. Porn to porn. Porn, porn.
That's gross. You're a pervert.
Sticks and stones, Kate Monster.
No, really. You're a pervert. Normal people don't sit at home and look at porn on the Internet.
Oh?
What?
You have no idea. Ready, normal people?
Ready.
Ready.
Let me hear it.
Internet is for porn.
Sorry, Kate.
The Internet is for porn.
I masturbate.
All these guys unzip their flies for porn. Porn.
For a fact that you, Rod, check your portfolio and trade stocks online.
That's correct.
And Brian, you buy things on Amazon.com.
Sure.
And Gary, you keep selling your possessions on eBay.
Yes, I do.
And Princeton, you sent me that sweet online birthday card.
True.
Oh, but Kate, what you think he do after?
Yeah.
The Internet is for porn. Internet is for porn. Grab your dick and double click for porn. Porn, porn, porn. Porn.
Porn.
The Internet is for Internet is for Internet is for porn.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Porn, 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 porn. Porn, 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 porn. Ellen? Ellen?
Yes?
You ever watch porn?
A long time ago.
It hasn't changed. The positions are the same, just different people.
Yep.
I have a favorite one.
Okay.
You want to hear it?
Sure.
Well, okay. Oops. It's news time. Sorry. This is the news. Breaking news from the Hammer the Jammer Report. Back to you, Hammer. Thank you, Hammer.
You're welcome, Hammer.
I'm trying to find my my music name. BJ in the morning is just not working. Brian Jackson. So I'm thinking of the Big B.
Darkness.
Well, then I get the witches and the goblins, and that didn't work. I have to find my internet. Like, I know there's a Big Boy in the morning in here, but I can go Big B. I'll figure out my internet name. All right, here we go. A fourth wave of COVID-19 is brewing in the U.S. Is there enough time to stop it? With every passing day, the United States appears more likely to be on the cusp of a dreaded fourth wave of COVID-19 infection. Even as the percentage of fully vaccinated Americans, on one, inches towards 50%. In the past 2 weeks, the number of average new daily cases have more than doubled. I'm going to read it. You know, every time I read something, Ellen, that creepy guy gets in my head. I can't get him out of my head from Dateline. Because for a while there, remember, it was, who was that guy? Salutations.
Gorka.
And
Gorka.
Yeah. He was in my head, and I couldn't read for about a month because he would come in my head. It was Gorka. Was it Gorka?
Okay, wait. It was Gorka. My phone's ringing, and it came up on the TV as Area 21.
Did it really? Jeez.
Yeah.
Jeez. Wow. Well, here it is. So if I get into creepy guy as I'm reading, he's in my head. Yes. People are dying. All right. In the past 2 weeks, the number of average new daily cases have more than doubled, from 13,200 on July 4th to more than 32,300 on July 8th. Well, that's no mystery. People were out on July 4th, and people were celebrating, and so now they're counting the cases. From 13,000 to 32,000. The 4th to the 18th. So you're talking about, what, 14 days? For 14 days, it went from 13,200 people to 32,300 people in 14 days. I'm talking to you morons who are not getting vaccinated. That's it. It has been proven that 97.3% of you people who have not been vaccinated are now in the hospital, are now dying, are now on the ventilator. That is true.
Yep,
true,
and they're the ones
true,
that are going to cause
true.
Everybody to have to be laid off from their jobs again.
Right. And it says here, a surge that see, here's the thing. We're all going to catch it. Even if you're vaccinated, you're going to catch it. You cannot not catch it. It's going to be here for a while. Now, I know what you're saying. So-and-so caught it. They recovered. Well, yeah, they're walking and talking, but the long effects of it, you would not believe. And men, let me tell you something, and I'm reading the story of news. Let me tell you something. And women, let me tell you something. If you're not vaccinated, if this is a reason to get you vaccinated, this should be to get you the reason vaccinated, it will mess with your pee-pee. That's right. COVID will fuck up your shit. That's true. And I'm trying to do the news report. What kind of news report is this? Hey. What's wrong with you? Where's Brian Williams? Shut up, you. And this is not really reported. But I'm going to report you. I'm reporting it. I'm going to be the snitch. Can COVID, let me dial it in because I don't have it. COVID can, what do you call it? Cause ED. And if you don't know what ED is, well, let me tell you right now for you men, you think I'm playing with you, and it's part of the news. COVID can cause lasting erectile, lasting erectile dysfunction. Here's what we know. These are people, if you're not vaccinated, COVID's going to fuck up your junk. That's the only way that you could save your penis. No, it's right here coming from the medical report. Here it is. Can COVID-19 cause lasting erectile dysfunction? Yes. This is the topic of some discussions among doctors and health experts as they try to better understand the effects of the coronavirus. The problem has been observed in some patients, but experts agree more study is needed to form any conclusion. More study? You're looking at a dude who can't get it up. Enough study. Study done. Some men are coming into the doctor's office saying erectile dysfunction has occurred following a COVID-19 infection. That's what they said. A urologist at the Cleveland Clinic at the moment, there is anecdotal evidence, and we don't know the scale of the problem at this point. Well, there is no point because you got a dead dick. That's the point.
That you put it.
News report. Exactly. They stress that it has not been proved that COVID-19 causes. Well, it does. Observational studies need to be done, he said, adding that a helpful one would be to study men in the same age group with similar health status to see if the rates of erectile dysfunction differ depending on whether they have the coronavirus. That we haven't gotten to yet. Shut up. It would not be surprising if COVID-19 harmed male sexual health, said the Dr. Emmanuel. Dr. Emmanuel, professor of that word. If I can't pronounce it, it's not important. You don't need to know.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it is. It has to do with your pee-pee. My audience understands the pee-pee. Endocrinology and medical sexology at the University of Rome to Vergata, who has written extensively on the subject. Erectile dysfunctions could be a symptom of long COVID, he said. An array of symptoms that can last months after the initial coronavirus infection. Common symptoms of long COVID include difficulty breathing. I could do that. Chest pain, no problem. Heart palpitations, makes me aware that I'm living and I have one. And the loss of smell and taste. Who cares? I go to a public restroom. And ED. What? That gets every man. Heart, okay. Chest pain. So what? Breathing, who needs it? Giannani said he suspected the risk was higher in patients who suffer from pneumonia accompanying COVID-19, which triggers inflammation of the blood vessels. The cells that line the body blood vessel. When those blood vessels and the rest of the cardiovascular system are harmed, it can trigger erectile dysfunction. We need the blood to go to the penis. That's it. That's the bottom line. If the blood is not flowing, you are not going. Unlike some other mammals that have bone, unlike some other mammals that have a bone in their penis, who knew that mammals had a bone in their penis? Wow. See, we learn something every day. Wow. That contributes to an erection. Erections in humans are solely generated through blood flow. Specifically, arteries that bring more blood flow to the penis than can exit it. So anything that could affect the ability of an artery to effectively deliver significant blood supply to create an erection could lead to erectile dysfunction. That's why I don't get blood at the Red Cross, because it takes away from my penis. It really does. I need that. Right. You would like to give blood? No, F you. Leave my penis alone. What? It's also the blood vessels themselves that can become inflamed. That's what he said, which could cause an obstructive phenomenon and negatively impact the ability to get erections. Lasting erection dysfunction associated with COVID has consequences beyond sexual activity. It could be an indicator of related diseases of the heart and the blood. Who cares? I can't get it up. You don't need to add on. You got me at no dick. Those suffering should tell a doctor they get a regular heart checkup. The most concerning thing here, now the creepy guy, Well, the most concerning thing here would be the erectile dysfunction. Ooh, did you chopped his head off. Did it hurt? Ooh. Yeah, I got creepy guy in my voice.
You got creepy guy, and you also got Yoda.
I know, I got creepy guy and Yoda. I got him. No, Dick, have you? The Force is not with you, I see.
No, I see Force not be with you.
Exactly. You got no Skywalker, do you? All right. Here, in short, are several of the reasons COVID-19 could contribute to persistent erectile dysfunction. These are the reasons. Or otherwise impair the male sexual health. Pneumonia from COVID-19 causes blood vessels to become inflamed. Your cock's on fire. Great balls of fire. Jimmy, leave this.
He got fireballs.
Exactly, he got fireballs. I feel a little discomfort, Doc. Well, what's going on? Oh, shit. Your balls are flamed. Oh, yeah. All right. Very often, the development of erectile dysfunction is related to the development of a vascular disease. Okay. And it's now becoming clear that some patients with COVID-19 are suffering from inflamed blood vessels. Right. This is not an uncommon problem with the viral infections, he said. It's just the scale of the blah, 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 blah. It's possible the coronavirus affects cells in the testes. Uh-oh. Really? It's possible the coronavirus affects cells in the testes, including, I don't know what Leydig means, but Leydig cells that produce testosterone, the male sex hormone, which affects the libido and desire. So if your man is not interested anymore and say, and you go down there and, he may have had COVID. If you view a scientific literature on possible ways erectile dysfunction can develop in COVID-19 survivor, the cells have been the same protein. Who cares? Well, here's some of the things. The doctor called this hypocrisy reasonable. It hasn't been proved. Lacking a sense of smell in me. Now, lacking a sense of smell may be good if you like to have oral sex with your woman. You know what I mean? It might be an odor. So that could work for you. Oh, honey, I got COVID now. Eat me. I can't even taste this or smell this. COVID works. Jeez. And can lead to depression and anxiety from the pandemic may contribute this. This is a strong... So anyway, COVID, if you don't get vaccinated, your dick is in jeopardy. But on a closer inspection, this surge looks significantly different than those we have seen in the past and may very well be worse than it looked on the page. The coronavirus pandemic has never, even in its worst heights last winter, struck the U.S. uniformly. Instead, it has wandered from eruptions in specific urban areas to suburban and rural counties and then back again. This is different. Like a persistent hurricane. Now, as the gap between states' completed vaccination rate widened, Alabama has vaccinated just 33.7% people in Alabama. Well, we expect that. Goodbye, Alabama. Bye-bye. Ding, ding, ding. Other residents, compared to 70% in Vermont. Vermont is always cool. Vermont has 70%. And they have a cluster in a handful of regions where a majority of the adults remain unvaccinated even as reopening continues. Here's a county-level map of 14-day growth of cases per 100,000. Okay, blah, 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 blah. I get bored with this. Let's recall. A year ago, COVID-19 skeptics, those are the people who are not taking the shots, including then Vice President Mike Pence, were attributing a spike in the cases at the time to increase in testing, a claim that was easily debunked. Now we face the opposite question as a number of blah, 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 blah. I don't worry about... Okay, there you go. Well, there's more political talk. There you go. The people who, bottom line, the people who are not vaccinated, 97% of the cases are in the hospital now. 97% of the deaths are coming from people who are not vaccinated. 97% of the people on ventilators.
They're saying that this time around, a lot of it's kids too.
Oh, yeah, that's the problem. I mean, we got the kids running around. Good morning, Miss Latia. How you doing, baby?
You know, and school's about to start up too. And
I know that's going to be a problem.
That is going to be a problem because if you dumbasses don't go out and get your kids vaccinated and get yourselves vaccinated, y'all are going to be sitting at home getting all this government money again, wondering, I wish I could go back to work. Why do I have to wear these fucking masks again? Because you and your dumbass stupidness don't want to go get the shot.
True. True. And thank you, our roaming reporter, Ms. Ellen J., in her op-ed.
I'm sorry, okay, but these people aggravate me. They want everything to get back to normal, but they don't want to do the steps that it takes to get back to normal.
That is true. I mean, it is just written in, it's just written there. If you're unvaccinated, like I said, I don't care who you listen to. You're going to get COVID. It's not going to go away.
You know what you dumbasses are going to get? You know what you dumbasses are going to get? You're going to get the Delta variant that's going to kill you even faster than COVID did.
That's right. I mean, if you think this Delta is bad, just wait till the new guy comes in. He's going to kick Delta's ass. And it's like, and then people are saying, well, I had COVID, I survived. Yeah, well, you had COVID, but your immune system is now compromised. So when the next variant comes in, it's going to kick your ass. You're going to get it. It's going to be here for years. Going back with the news. U.S. gymnast catches COVID just before the Olympic opener. Now we got all our people here. The Olympic people are catching COVID now. No matter what they're doing, they're wearing masks in Japan. When you get off the airplane, they're taking your temperature, blah, 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 blah. They're doing everything. As soon as they get to, the house, they catch COVID. On Monday, the Japanese city hosting a U.S. gymnastic team for pre-games training and a female gymnast from the team has been tested positive. The name of the athlete who is in her teens have been withheld by the committee. Well, people are, you know, this is going to be the most fucked up Olympic Games ever because you know people are going to catch COVID.
If we even have the Olympic Games, Ryan, it keeps going the way it's going. Everything's going to be shut down again.
Exactly. And that brings me to our main story. People are saying, get to that story. That's why I listen to this stupid show. Fine. Shut up. Fuck you. The reason we're doing this story
That must be the voices inside your head calling it a stupid show. Because I know nobody else
calls
it
a
stupid show.
There's a lot of voices in my head, and they're all talking. They're supposed to be quiet while I do the show, but sometimes they go, oh, really, we're reading this? Really? And the logical voice in my mind, says, I'm checking out right now. I'll be back in 3 hours. And the angry voice.
I thought logic already left a long time ago, like years ago.
No, they beat the hell out of
that?
Him. I don't know. He comes back, but they bully him. They bully Logic. They kick his ass, and then he goes away. And then I do stupid things. I says, why did you do stupid thing? Because it's not logical.
Because
I have
logic,
no logic.
Not there.
Well, the one that really the voices pick on is the compassionate one. They call him the pussy. You know what I mean? They go, get out of here. What are you doing? Well, I care.
Okay.
Shut up.
Who is this? Female officer?
Oh.
Okay.
Mm.
The call thing came up.
Unbelievable. Well, here we go. The reason we're going to do this case is why household items are spying on you is because there's something in the news, just hit the news today. And this got me thinking. And here's the headline. Israeli spyware sold to authoritarian regimes used to target activists, politicians, and journalists. So they're using spyware. Israel is selling spyware to terrorists so they can spy on the journalists. Here it is. Military-grade spyware licensed by Israeli firm to governments for tracking terrorists and criminals was used in attempt and successful hacks of 37 smartphones belonging to journalists, human rights activists, business executives, and two women close to murdered Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, and that's according to the investigation. The phones appeared on a list of more than 50,000 numbers that are concentrated in countries known to engage in surveillance of their citizens and also known to have been clients of the Israeli firm. So this list does not identify who it is. So bottom line, the government is listening on your smartphone and you're being targeted. It can't happen. So if you're thinking, you're talking on the phone, and all of a sudden you don't want people to know, somebody else may be listening. Have you ever had it? You're talking on your cell phone, and you hear a voice talking, and you're going, huh, what? Did you hear that voice, and you don't hear that voice anymore? I've had that a couple of times on my phone.
You
like
know
maybe
what?
I hit a party line.
Me and my mom, for the last couple of days when we've talked, my mom keeps, did you hear that? And I keep, hear what? She said,
right.
It sounds like somebody else is talking. I said, maybe it's your phone. I said, maybe somebody else crossed your line. That happened to me one time, Brian. This was like maybe 17 years ago. And I was on the phone. I forget who I was talking to, but I was talking to somebody. And then all of a sudden, I hear these two other people come on the phone. And they're talking about some lawsuit that one of the people has against Walmart.
Well, yeah. It's possible. And here we go. And that set up this story, our main story. Nine household products that may be spying on you now. Right now. Right now. They're spying on you. And here they are. For Americans concerned about their privacy, the NSA data grabs are daunting. Some people say data. I say data. But what about the data grabs happening inside your own home? Perpetrated. That word perpetrated is like a sexy word. I don't know why every time. I know it's not, but perpetrated. Isn't it like, I'm going to perpetrate you after dinner. Ooh. What does that mean? I don't know. But I'm doing the perv walk. Perpetrated not by the government, but by your coffee machine. Consider every appliance and every piece of home electronics that you own. Does it gather data or data about how you use it? Does it connect to the internet? If so, it could be used to spy on you. Your mobile devices, your TV, and now various other types of home appliances can be wired into a network that can track you. If those networks are hacked, information about your habits and behaviors could be available to people with nefarious goals. The same technological innovation that empowers us also makes us vulnerable to those who would exploit it. Did somebody die? I got a recent story here. Police bomb threat closed. Okay, whatever. Here are nine appliances and other systems inside your house that may be spying on you right now or used to spy on you in the future. It's a quick list. Number one is your television set. Ever wonder how your TV remembers what show you watch, which ones you plan to watch, and how long you watched your last episode of Homeland before falling into a nightmare-ridden sleep? It does it all by connecting to the internet. Therein lies its weakness. Computer security firm Revon proved last year that it could hack Samsung's newest televisions, assessing user settings, installing malware on the TV and any other connected devices, and harvesting all the personal data stored in the machine. They could even switch on the camera embedded in the TV and watch viewers watching the set. We found this out 2 years ago where people were turning on their computer cameras and people putting towels over it. Remember? While you're speaking, your computer camera will turn on. Yeah. Somebody's watching you. Did you like it? No.
Yeah, that's song by Rockwell. That song by Rockwell, you never realized how true that song by Rockwell will be. I always
that's
feel
right.
like somebody's watching you.
That's true. That is true. Samsung says it patched the security flaws. Well, why did you have it there in the first place? That said, who's to say Samsung is the only brand to have experienced a security issue? Your cable box. Companies including Google and Verizon are reportedly developing cable boxes with built-in video cameras and motion sensors. The idea is that if the camera detects two people canoogling on the couch, let me translate, fucking. The idea is that if the camera detects two people fucking on the couch, they might be delivered ads for a new romantic movie. While a room full of children will see ads for an Air Hogs remote control helicopter. If that freaks you out, think what government intelligence agencies or hackers could do with such a device. Your dishwasher, your clothes dryer, your toaster, your clock radio, and your remote control. This may sound fantastical, but no less an expert on spying than former CIA Director David Petraeus believes that even mundane appliances like your dishwasher could soon be used to gather intelligence about you. Appliances including dishwashers, coffee makers, and clothes dryers are now connected to the Internet. This helps the manufacturers troubleshoot performances and improve energy efficiency. That's what they say. And it gives owners a chance to order a fresh cup of coffee or a dry bin of clothes from their phone, computer, or tablet. You know, when I was driving to pick Sydney up to the airport, I did the Google map thing. Where she goes, turn right, turn left, go straight, you know that, and she got on my nerves. But what's really problem is that I made a wrong turn, and then I hear recalculating, until they find where I am, and then they have to redirect me. Then I did a couple of wrong turns on purpose, recalculating, just to fuck it up, recalculating. They know what you're doing. I still want to get the Samuel Jackson directional map, the audio directional map. Motherfucker, right! Right, to right, motherfucker! It's in the Samuel Jackson app. Your shit's not right. Go straight. I want that app. Okay. The same technology that enables monitoring of your home appliances also could allow would-be spies to monitor your lights. In addition to tracking your schedule, taking control of your home lighting system could help robbers invade your home by turning off the lights and keeping them off during the invasion. The Nest thermostat tracks homeowners' heat and air conditioning habits, learns their preferences, and over time, tweaks their Havoc system. I'm just imagining that I have one of my smart TV is watching me. And the next thing you know that I'm getting a lot of hits on Pornhub. Hey, what's going on? What? Oh, look at the views. Thank you, TV. Wow.
Yeah, and then you really will be known as BJ.
BJ, yeah, that's right. Look at BJ go. Is that Sandy?
Didn't you say Latia's in the studio?
Huh?
Did you say that Latia's in the studio?
Latia's in the studio. Yes, she is. Hello, Latia.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
Hi, baby. How was your weekend?
Good.
Yeah. What did you do? Hello, baby. Hello, baby. I know, baby. Yeah. Your mom did what?
Was I talking about you?
Well, it's it. I know, sweetheart. But I have to read this. I really do. It says, for years, home security systems were hardwired to a service provider's operation center. Now they are wirelessly connected to many users' phone and tablets. This allows us to keep tabs on our homes at all times from all places. What's the point of having a security system if robbers can hack it? Insulin pumps and pacemakers are spying on you.
Yeah, you know what? You know what is so scary about this, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, and this was, what was it? It was actually an episode. It was actually an episode of FBI Most Wanted, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of this shit that is connected to the internet, somebody
mm-hmm.
can hack in and say, like, you're on insulin and you have the insulin pump, the insulin thing inside you
uh-huh.
that is pumping and you don't have to do the needles anymore. This person,
right.
And he actually did on this episode, he actually hacked into somebody's insulin pump and tried to kill them with an overdose.
I believe it. I believe the same thing with hacking into those, you know, every time I see the commercial with these cars, you know, telling the smart cars that they could park by itself and all this shit, I'm saying, you stupid fuck.
Why do you think Uber's not doing it anymore? They said that the reason, well, they didn't say it, but the reason is somebody found out about it and they did try to hack into it and cause the thing to crash.
Exactly.
Uber was,
and you know,
Uber was working on something like that.
It's only a matter of time before, you know, somebody does that. And you know somebody's doing it in the dark web, that you could pull up next to a car that has all these electronics and everything, and you could probably just fuck that car up.
You know what's funny, but it's not so funny? Domino's has
mm-hmm.
the driverless car. The driverless delivery.
Right.
Somebody who's hungry and homeless, but he's a genius with the computer, he can hack into it and have that pizza delivered to him.
You're damn right. You could. I mean, there's a lot of things
it's
you could
funny.
Do with that.
It's funny, but it's not funny.
Right. And I'm so, no, I am afraid of those cars. You know, we rented a car one time that had, you know, our car has the new stuff, but some of these rental cars have new stuff. It's like, even if a car gets near me, it would beep up alarm. We're going to Arizona. I'm going, what is that beeping? We didn't even know until 4 hours if somebody got a little close to me on the other side, the car would beep.
Well,
and the lights would shine.
They explain all of that to you before you rent the car.
No, they didn't. I didn't know what the fuck was
going
on.
Well, you know what? They're dumbasses. They didn't do their job right.
Well, they said insulin pumps and pacemakers. Forget about hacking your house. They hacked those. What about hacking your body in 2012?
Hackers,
Barnaby Jack.
My mom's got a chip in her heart.
Right. This guy named is Barnaby Jack, recently deceased, proved he could kill a diabetic person from 300 feet away by ordering an insulin pump to deliver fatal doses of insulin. This summer, he announced he could hack pacemakers and implanted defibrillator.
He just put something inside a chip inside his computer.
Right.
Or whatever.
I can't say it. The word's not important.
It
implanted
is important
defibrillators. Yeah.
Oh, defibrillators. Okay, defibrillators. That's
defibrillators.
What you're
trying to say. Yeah, that's what I said. Defibrillators.
Yeah, that's not what you said. Defibrillator.
They understand.
The
drunken people understand.
Things that jumpstart your heart.
That's right. And that not only things about your email, these are computers that are just as exploitable as your PC or Mac, but they're but not looked at it as often. They're talking about email. When you actually look at these devices, think of every spy gadget dreamed up by Q in James Bond films, microphones, still, and video cameras, geolocating devices, computer software that can steal your personal passwords, hack your bank accounts, hijack your email, and take control of other devices. Your smartphone has all of these things in addition. The U.S. military disclosed last year it created an app called Place Raider that uses a phone's camera, geolocation data, and its cellular-o-meter to create a 3D map of the phone's surrounding. Most tablets and computers have all the same tools as smartphones, and some have even more. If your phone can spy on you, they can too. Even more so than our smartphones, we unwittingly stuff them with every imaginable tidbit of sensitive personal information, from lists of passwords to tax financial information to geotag for photographs to the innermost secrets that we change with our friends often. Our privacy is threatened every day. Our most precious asset, our identity, is put at risk by us and those who wish to track us in every moment. Now, that's what's happening. Okay, that's a big story. Yeah. So bottom line, if you got any smart appliances, long story short, any smart appliances in your home, including your coffee machine, and it's hooked up to the internet, and your guys who sold it to you saying, well, you know, these features can reach out to consumer or reach out to this or troubleshoot, whatever, you're being spied on, plain and simple. Any smart devices in your house, somebody is listening and somebody's watching you. And when we come back, now Ellen has this problem. A lot of you people, I'll say what it is. A lot of you people, yeah, you do, because when I say it, you're going to say, yes, I do. A lot of you people, you know, you have your computer for a long time and you want to take it to a repair shop. Well, these are the five things that you should be watch out for. And then I'm going to tell you the horror stories from a guy who repaired your computer, what you must know. You're listening to
me. Well, you
me.
Know what? I really don't have that problem because they couldn't even get into my computer. Thank you very much.
But you know what? I told you back in the day, they used to have a Kodak place. There's a guy in a shack. And you used to take your film, and he used to develop it. It used to take 3 days for you to get the film back. And
mm-hmm.
I've known people who work, usually they're teenagers, you know, they're in high school. They're getting your pictures. Back in the day, they would make double the pictures. You know what I mean? You get your pictures, but they make copies. And people like the film themselves fucking or undressed or whatever. I'm saying the same thing. Can you imagine a computer? So here you are. Maybe you're older. Maybe kids are saying, I don't give a fuck. But when you take that computer to the Geek Squad, they got every personal information to you. I saw a movie about this, that they would take the computer in the repair thing, and then they would get your personal information, your passwords, your security, you know what I mean? Rob you.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't trust it, but still people take their computers to get it repaired. And we're going to hear the horror stories about doing that. And then the morons who try to fix five things you should know before trying to fix your computer. Stupid stuff people do so they don't take it to the shop. You're listening to me. Brian Hammer Jackson. And don't forget my podcast. It's a real thing. And I do read stories about the inside of mind of a serial killer, and there's special effect and stuff that keeps the story going. It's true. Yes. The inside of mind of a serial killer. I should do a preview on the show so you can hear how good the podcast is tonight. Because it will be a subscription, by the way, because I do it really good. With sound effects and voices and shit. One of my best performances. But they're true story. You would have to subscribe to it. For the first week, it's free. Yes. She was naked. And don't forget my eroticism page. Ooh, booby.
God.
Her nipples flash before the moonlight. Bing, bing. But anyway. You got to hear the podcast. It's really good. Award winning. If you want to, you know, have a good night and my voice to you going, hello. It is hammer time. Grab a drink and a cocktail. And sit back and relax. Oh, come on. You would not want to buy that. You would not want to get a subscription to that. You know what I mean? Can you imagine I'm in your ear and you're listening to your husband's next to you and he's reading an article and you're putting on your, I think I'll hammer it out tonight. And I just talk to you personally, like, the first thing you hear is like, okay, tape one. Hey, is he asleep? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. You'll love it. It's like I would tell you a story. It's like, I don't know if they're going to be laughing or go, what are you doing? Nothing. It's a horror story. I see. We'll be right back with Taking Your Computer. I can't get that song out of my head. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart. What was the song? What was their main song? Because I had it. I Get High with a Little Help from My Friends. What was that song? I thought I had it in the studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What, isn't it A Little Help from My Friends?
Is it A Little Help? Damn, I wish I labeled it. A Little Help with My Friends. I wonder if it's under A. A Little Help. No. Damn it. Here's one.
You on drugs?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. All right, I'm going to play this. I like this song. It's erotic. You tell me if this is not erotic, because I'm gonna put this on my podcast, and we'll be right back with our big stories when you take your computer to get the repair shop, and some of the stories that they'll tell you, and five things you should know, you should not do by trying to fix a computer on your own. This is Brian Hammer Jackson, and there's Ellen and Latia in the room. This is very erotic, and I like this song. We'll be right back. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a bondage song, you know what I mean? A little hanky spanky. Look at that music. Makes you want to put your butt in the air, doesn't it? Ooh, spank me with that paddle, big boy. Big B, on the job. Continue the song now. This has just been a little intermission. And now we begin. Hit it. Okay, we're done. Thank you. All right. You know, music sends the song. But when you actually read it, I thought it was a very erotic song. Didn't you, Ellen? Didn't you think it was erotic? Yeah, it's about B and D. How about you, Latoya? I mean, Latoya, I'm sorry, Latina. Latia, I'm sorry. You know, you don't call a girl by a wrong name. She'll never talk to you. Latia, did you think this song was erotic?
It's not erotic, it's erotic.
Okay, fine. But here's the words. So I don't know if it translates with the words. I'm just going to say the words and we'll get out of it. The song is called Dirty Mind by Boy Epic. It says, I know what you like, get the champagne. Hands on your thighs, want to get your body high. Get low. Ooh. Or no. I know you want to fight, set a new pace. Want to do it right, keep your back to the sky, go slow. Oh no. Prepare for witness. Second verse. Thank you. Yes, oh yes. Do you want me? You want to be stressed? I'd rather have sex, you and I, and my dirty mind. And we could stay high, or no. Yes, oh yes. Do you want me, babe? You want to be stressed? I'd rather have sex. You and I could die 1,000 times, or we could stay high, or no. Let me change your mind, give you a new fame, make you feel shy, keep it 50 all night, let's go. Oh no, that's right here. We can let it ride, play a new game, heavy over time, we can do it for life, go pro. Oh no. Yes, oh yes, do you want me, babe? Do you want to be stressed? I'd rather have sex. You and I and my dirty mind. Or we could stay high or no. Yes, oh yes. Do you want me, babe? You want to be stressed? I'd rather have sex. You and I could die 1,000 times. Or we could stay high or no. We could stay high for life. Or tell me to go. No, no. Do you want it or no? Sippy time. Mouth a little dry. A little parched. I have to wet my lip. Don't forget, I have a podcast. Subscribe. We could stay high for life or tell me to go. No, no, no. Do you want me or no? No, no, no. Yes, oh, yes. Do you want me, babe? You want to be stressed? I'd rather have sex. You and I in my dirty mind. We can stay high. Oh, no. Yes, oh, yes. Do you want me, babe? You want to be stressed? I'd rather have sex. You and I could die 1,000 times. Or we could stay high. Or no. And that's the lyrics. And here it is, just a little bit more. And that's the lyrics. So the lyrics are interesting. I have 3 hours to kill people. That story only takes 10 minutes that I'm going to read. Hang in there. Dirty Mind, boy, epic. I love it. Next time you have sex, you should play it. There you go. And it's on your side. Go ahead and run it. Get slow. Oh, no. Maybe she's French. I like how she said it. Hey. Hey. Want to do your right? Keep your back to the sky so slow. Oh, no. Yeah. But we can stay high or no. Feel shy, keep it busy all night, but so. Oh no. I like this song. Imagine that it's the sunlight, little wine, little champagne, little bondage thing. I'm in a rubber onesie. Hello. Put his zipper all the way up to my head. Hello. Wait, you can't get his zipper down. I can't breathe. Hurry, pull the zipper down. Cut it. Yeah. And break out the paddle. So hanky spanky. Yeah. What kind of candles do I have in this bondage? I guess I want my candles to smell like leather. Like old leather. There was that cologne like English leather. Hello, bondage time. Yeah, there you go. I'd rather have that. I could die in time. There you go. That next time you guys have sex, there you go. Dirty Mind, boy epic. These are good things to have. There you go. There you go. And there's another song that will trigger sexual excitement. And I'm sure if you're a woman over 40, you probably have got your panties wet once in a while. And I know Ellen's mom probably has. I mean, she's probably sliding down the banister.
What?
Huh?
You know what?
What? Listen, this is the song. This is the song. I'm sure as soon as she hears this, it's like, ooh, here you go. Yeah. your mother was a biker, baby. She's on a hog, baby. She's riding. And you know, she has a leather jacket, like, bitch. Yeah, look at her. Yeah. You get her hair is blowing in the back seat. There's a biker with a beard. There she is. Sunglasses. And I go, wait a minute, she's pregnant. Right to the wind. There's little Ella in her stomach.
Woo.
Nothing like a pregnant babe on the back of a hog. Sexy. Yes. All right, here we go. Five things you should know before trying to fix your computer. Okay, here's what's happening with you nuts. Your computer is kind of going crazy, and you morons are thinking you can fix it. Here you go. I come from an era where computers were designed for geeks and geniuses. Without the Internet, the only practical use were data storage, being a really expensive word processor, and being a kick-ass solitaire machine. So I guess I shouldn't really be surprised that I find people today, smart people who know their way around the Internet, who don't know what to do when their computer flips out and starts shouting racial slurs at them. I don't have a computer that shouts racial slurs. Who does? Why would he even put that in the conversation? Nobody's thinking, I mean, we're at the computer thing. Why would you start saying racial slurs? What's going on in your head? I've never had a computer say, turn me on, nigga. Turn me off, nigga. What's wrong with you? You're running out the electricity, motherfucker. Never had a computer to do that. Never. There wasn't much else to do with it, but now there are common fixtures in pretty much every household. It's kind of a ridiculous expect everyone to know how to fix them. There are computer guys for that, just like there are mechanics to change the oil in your car or leather workers to repair your sex whips. Again, why would you put this in the computer repair thing? Why would you put sex whips and racial slurs? So I guess I should – that was in there. I didn't make it up. Repair your sex whips. So I guess I shouldn't really be surprised when I find people today with smart people who know their way around the Internet, blah, 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 pay attention, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. Five things that you guys try to fix your computer with and you make a mistake. Number five. Hey, look, two free programs could fix this whole damn thing. Now, when you go in there and you get all this adware things or you're looking for stuff and it says, here, download these programs, and it can fix it. And adware, smart shopper, hijack, smart. What you're doing is you're downloading malware. I fell for it five times. You know, I'll hear a prompt that says your computer's running slow. These are the things that you want to fix your computer, you know, do this. And then you download it. And what they do is once you download it, it's placed with the malware. You're getting malware in there. So you're fucking up your computer. That's number five. Don't go with the two free programs that could fix the computer. Number four. Computer people tell me, if this sounds familiar, a friend calls you in a panic because every time they do the Internet, they get booted out to a spam website completely at random. Their homepage has changed too, and they need you to come over and wipe it. Moving on. You recognize it as some simple hijacking malware. So you tell them, oh, that's an easy fix. Just download malware bytes or spybot search and destroy and run them. It'll be fixed with virtually no effort on your part. But no matter what you tell them, they absolutely refuse to just click the download button. They want you to put your day on hold, drive over to your house, click the four buttons required to fix the problem because they are convinced that this is something that requires a high level of expertise. Nothing you say could change their mind, even though your head voices are screaming at you. Just click the goddamn button. Click it, you son of a bitch. Finally, they realize that you want to... So they give in and say, that's no big deal. I'll just take it to a repair shop and have them wipe it. Wait, what? You don't have to wipe it. It's a simple fix. Just download the programs and click the goddamn button, you son of a bitch. Click it. Instead, you grit your teeth and tell them, I'll be over in an hour. If any of this is going over your heads, people who aren't computer savvy, let me explain. Malware are program distributed by dickwad companies that get downloaded and installed into your computer, usually without your knowledge. They can be attached to other seemingly innocent programs like weather bugs, screensavers, or simple flash game. They also can be embedded right into the website you're visiting, so that simple looking at their page infects your computer. If your computer's problem is that it's running slow or spawning pop-ups or redirecting you to another website at random, this is most likely the cause, and it's fixable without you having to pay a guy $200 to do it. Wiping your computer is not the solution because the actual fix takes a half as long, and you don't lose any of your files in the process. The awesome thing is that the repair programs are totally free, so if they don't work, you lost nothing. You get a billion nerds telling you a billion different programs to use because nerds are annoying. There are elitists who need to shut the fuck up. But the ones I like, the ones I linked above are the ones that I have had 100% success rate, and neither one charges you a goddamn penny. Just download them, install them. All right, here it is. Or you could, you know, take it to a guy who would do the same exact thing and charge you $200. All right, number four. These are things that you do when your computer is not acting right, and you do this on impulse. Number four. It's going to be expensive as hell. Let's just take it to a repair shop. That sounds obvious, doesn't it? Believe me, it's not too many people. Before you pick up the phone, tell the person that your computer is being stupid and ask how much it's going to cost to fix it. Know that the reason their response will sound muffled is because they're talking through gritted teeth while flipping off the phone. It's impossible to give an exact diagnosis over the phone for the same reasons that your doctor couldn't tell you that you have bronchitis without first running a few tests. But with the right information, you can give a couple of scenarios and at least a ballpark estimate of each. So these are people. So this is important. Before, hourly rates vary dramatically from shop to shop. I've heard prices range from $40 to $150 per hour. If your local shop falls into these higher rates and your repair is going to take 3 or 4 hours, you're now talking about a bill that is equal to a brand new tower. Yep. See, I just say your computer is not meant to be fixed. It's a throwaway. It's like they're saying, $40 an hour. If I take my computer, it's $40 an hour. I'd rather just buy a refurbished computer. Nowadays, people are using their phones, so computers are not expensive anymore. Why are you trying to fix it? Here we go. What is the number of this one? This one's number three. Be honest with the repair person. If you're ever seeing the show House, you know that they regularly bring up interesting phenomena we do as humans that just destroy any chances we have at helping others. Everybody lies. Any person who has ever worked at a job fixing things can tell you that it's absolutely true, and it is the most frustrating thing in the world to computer techs. The thing is, there is nothing you can do on your computer that we haven't already seen 1,000 times. We know people watch porn. Hell, 3/4 of the repairs I've ever seen has been because of bad porn sites. I have seen a computer overheat because a person stuffed a bag of weed inside the case and the plastic got caught in the fan. I have seen a tower infested with roaches and another that got infected with a virus because a little fuckhead kid was trying to learn how to make and distribute one. Wow. Yet people are still afraid to come clean with what they are doing when things went to shit. Often instead to say, I don't know. I was using it it was fine a minute ago, and the next thing I knew, it just went crazy on me, out of the blue. They're afraid to simply tell us what happened because nobody wants to be blamed. Like they're afraid we'll look at them differently or scold them for being so stupid. The truth is, aside from the oddball cases I just mentioned, Almost everybody does exactly what you're doing. The reason repair guys have a job in the first place is because people continually mess up their computers by going to bad websites, downloading screensavers, opening up spam emails, installing questionable games, and using torrent sites without knowing. Now, torrent site is very important. Torrent sites are the people who would like to watch bootleg movies. And those are the torrent sites. I mean, I had problems with that. I would never go to a torrent site again. Oh, my God. If you ever go to a torrent site, and these are like movies that are playing now, but you can watch them for free, your computer is just, it will never be the same. It's going to be fucked up. It says installing questionable games and using torrent sites without knowing how to spot the bad shit. By not being honest about your computer that got screwed in the first place, you're adding additional time to the repair process, because now the tech has to track down the source of the problem to make sure it's not coming from a file buried in the system that will simply respawn the same problem once the system has been alleviated. I'm sorry. Boy, I'm getting tired. And that translates into more money that you'll be paying. You'd rather keep your poop fetish to yourself. Want to know something scary? In process of fixing the computer, they're going to find out anyway. Number two, remember what you were doing when it died, and don't delete your fucking history. Bad websites aren't the only things that screw up a computer. At any given moment, there are dozens of programs running quietly in the background, all written by different companies telling your computer to do different things. If one of them is telling your system at the next spotlight, make a right, and you plug in an MP3 player that tells it at the next stoplight, make a left, your computer freaks out. This happens all the time, and it's not your fault. However, when you bring it in for repair and the guy asks you what happened, you can't just tell them it was working fine 1 minute and the next minute it just got all stupid. You'll be more helpful by just staring at them cold, dead silence. You need to let them know exactly what you were doing when it flipped out. Did you turn on your printer? Did you plug something in? Did you remove something? Did you accidentally spin kick it during a ninja training? And here it is. I'm trying to get to. The number one reason that people...
Brian, you really gotta stop using your computer in your ninja training.
I do. I really do. And the number one reason you may be losing, the number one reason where people do some stupid things to try to repair their computer, and you may be losing some things that you love. I used to have an aunt who was the smartest woman in the world. She had virtually no vices to speak of. She didn't drink, smoke, or even curse. But that 60-year-old woman loved the shit out of poker. She loved it so much that she bought a computer specifically because one of her sons told her that she could play online for free, which will eliminate any worries of her running away to Vegas and having to blow mobsters to pay off her gambling debt. What a nice nephew, knowing that her aunt's going to pull off.
I thought it was her son.
Oh, was it her son? Well, no, he was saying, I used to have an aunt.
Yeah,
so,
but it said that one of her sons told her.
One of her sons told her that she could play online. Yeah. Oh, yeah, her son saying that her mom's going to blow a mobster. Nice family. Anyone who has used a computer for more than 4 seconds knows what happened next. Within a matter of days, her computer became an $800 paperweight. Knowing I was a computer guy, she called me. While cleaning up the mess, I explained that I have to uninstall her new poker game and that all the online versions she played will also have to be avoided. She sadly agreed. And we got everything back to normal, but the upside was that I was able to track down another clean poker game for her, and that made her happy again. Well, a week later, I got another call. Same problem. When I started to clean up again, I saw that she has been frequenting 5 completely new poker sites, all of them dumping the same malware into her hard drive. When I brought it up, she explained, "The one we put up there last week wasn't very good, so I found new ones." The exact situation is the problem.
Yeah, I found new ones.
That exact situation.
That would have been your mom, Brian.
It would have been. It really would have been. The exact situation is the problem with new computer users. It's not entirely their fault. When you turn on the television, you can flip any channel you want without worrying about the show. It's going to break your TV. You can also go through every radio station on the dial, knowing that you're not going to land on that forces your speaker to play nothing but commercials. So that's the number one thing. There you go. Now we're going to have some people talk about the shit. And here they are. And these are people. Here's somebody else's voice. Let me see. The most disturbing. I think this is it. Let's listen to this guy. These are the most disturbing PC horror stories ever. And I'm hoping I didn't read the whole story. I always say that when I read the story, then I repeat it. Here we go. Here we go.
Through the side vent, all over the motherboard. People who fix computers, what's the word? Turns out that their cat puked through the side vent, all over the motherboard. People who fix computers, what's the worst thing you've found? A guy I know that fixed computers for a living, years ago, had a customer bring in a computer stating that the floppy drive had stopped working. When he opened it up, he found cockroaches mashed against the read and write heads in the drive. He said he just closed it up and left it on the front step for the guy to come and retrieve. A crusty old man walked into the shop with a look in his eyes like a child who just stole from the cookie jar. The year is 2017, but he asks me if I can burn a CD for him. I am confused, but I indulge the customer's request. I ask him what he wants burned to the CD. He simply points to a folder titled New Folder by Instinct. I double-click, and in that moment what little innocence I had left died. Inside that indescribable folder, hundreds of pictures of what I'm assuming is wife in what can only be described as explicit positions. I'm sure she is a fine lady, but age has not been kind to her. The lack of hygiene and poor diet didn't help either. Frozen in place, I slowly turned my head to the old man's gaze, only to be met with a simply indescribable grin and a slow nod. Never before in my life has I been that afraid, disgusted, and stunned, but I had a job to do. I grabbed a dusty old 700MB CD and burned those images to its form. It was done, the transaction was made, but I was robbed of my innocence and of my sanity. My coworker asked me to fix his computer and I agreed since he was a nice guy. It turns out it was actually his 13-year-old son's computer. As soon as I got it, I knew it was a bad idea. It was disgusting, covered in food particles and a white crusty residue I am hoping wasn't jizz. It wouldn't even boot up when I turned it on, but I managed to get inside with Windows Startup Repair. As soon as I logged in, I saw dozens of torrented video games and hundreds of GBs of adult films. Oh boy. I ran a virus scan and it removed so many files that it corrupted the hard drive and prevented the laptop from booting. I spent over 20 hours trying to recover the hard drive, but it was royally messed up. I gave the laptop back to him after I was able to get it booted and agreed to stop fixing PCs on the side. The last company I worked for, I got a laptop back from one of the sales guys who was complaining that his computer was slow and kept crashing. He was the sort of guy who, rather than raise a ticket, sends an email with the entire exec team copied in about how he couldn't do his job because IT were incompetent, etc. Well, I got his laptop from him and noticed the hard drive was completely full. Most of the sales stuff is web-based, so there was no reason for the local drive to have anything on it. So, I had a look. Expertly hidden on his hard drive in a folder called Work Stuff was over 300 GB of naked pictures and videos of himself. Literally thousands of pictures of him naked. Videos of him dancing naked. Videos of him shoving things in his butt. One extremely awkward meeting with the guy's manager later, he was quietly let go. A 20-year-old friend's mother was going through her husband's laptop to fix some virus issues and found videos of their daughter, my friend, getting changed, taking showers, etc. on the laptop. Apparently the husband slash dad had hidden cameras in their daughter's room taking inappropriate videos of her for years. He's in jail now. But I can't imagine how that felt finding out that her own father that she loved and trusted was betraying her in the sickest way for most of her life. CP on an executive's laptop. He was acting mighty suspicious when I was cleaning his computer and nervously looking over my shoulder, but then almost by the grace of the heavens, he stepped out for a moment and the virus scan went to where his collection was with common sex acts and the words PTHC and #O #=5 to 14. I hid the scan in his tray, aborted the temp file cleaning to mitigate the chances of destroying evidence, snuck off into the restroom, and made the call. The guy was arrested within the hour, especially since the police station was only up the street, and even the FBI got involved. PTHC equals preteen hardcore, or just about every single file within that folder had it. I wish I could go through life without learning that word, but when it shows up 50 plus times for seemingly large video files, I had no choice but to Google what it meant. I personally like to think it means pathetic. Father-in-law got a new computer and wanted stuff transferred over. His old computer had viruses and ran slow. Due to this, I tried to figure out what actually needed transferring rather than just transferring everything after cleaning it up. Stumbled upon pictures of him and dragging him getting a dildo shoved up his butt. Why do people insist on large thumbnails? Why? Was doing IT at a law firm. Saw a folder called literally dirty pics. Immediately opened folder. I mean, come on, saw pics of almost every secretary in the firm naked. I found a couple of things. I found a dead rat inside a PC one time. Customer couldn't fathom why it shorted out. The thing was like a mummy too. Old 90-year-old dude comes in with a computer. Pop it on the tester, hook it up to a monitor, and his background is the most hardcore gay adult films ever. There are like 10 customers waiting in the shop, so I quickly just turned the monitor off, swapped the desktop background out in the back and did the work. Was at an old couple's house backing up all their pictures, and those two old folks had some nasty self-filmed amateur adult films on there. So many gray pubes. Had a customer come in and be like, I don't know why my computer isn't working. Load up the desktop and there's tons of malware. I ask what kind of sites he goes to, so I can coach him on how not to get infected again, and like clockwork a bunch of malware pop-ups start flashing and playing the ANTTS song. Took everything in me to just hold it together. All the other things are par for the course. Badly hidden adult film folders labeled innocuously, like I'm not gonna see some random folder labeled beach stuff that weirdly has like 3 terabits in it while I'm backing up your files. Web histories to Nazi sites. Marry a dude who 90% of their history is Craigslist hooker links. I mean, you work in IT for like 10 years, nothing surprises you anymore. Had the FBI come in one time and take a computer that we were fixing. One lady just left her kid, 2-year-old, at the shop after dropping the computer off for like 3 hours till CPS came, and there was a giant brawl in the waiting area. Somebody took a dump on the floor in our line one time. All in all, it was a crazy, crazy job. My friend's dad used to fix up old computers and laptops, and one day he told us about this time this elderly man came into his shop to get his old desktop fixed. So he drops it off, and immediately my friend's dad notices it smells off, and I mean very off. So he goes to fix it, and when he pops open the side, I kid you not, 20 cockroaches climb out of this thing and scatter away. On the inside is this rotten piece of meatloaf leftover which has turned moldy black and gross. My friend's dad said he almost threw up in the moment and they had to call an exterminator to kill the roaches. He called the elderly man back to tell him about his computer troubles. Apparently the old man had dementia or something and thought the computer was a fridge, and he had stored his leftover meatloaf in there. Needless to say, they did not fix his computer. I worked for my university's IT department in the laptop depot, so we basically would do any repairs on students, faculty and staff's laptops. We had this really solid warranty with Dell where they were 100% covered for 4 years, even including intentional misuse. We saw all sorts of laptops full of dust, smoke, beer/wine/liquor. They would always say they spilled juice on their laptop. I got to the point where I could replace a motherboard on a Latitude D630 in under 5 minutes. The only time I ever saw a laptop that we refused to repair was one dude who barfed all over his. My boss just put on rubber gloves, put it in a plastic bag, and mailed it to Dell to be replaced. At my old job, some kid, probably 17 or 18 at the time, brought in his Asus gaming laptop for us to clean up. The thing was riddled with malware. Some of the files we had to manually delete, and when we went looking we found something interesting. He had hours of sex tapes with him and his girlfriend. Also keep in mind that this is when Windows 8.1 was new and the photo tile on the start menu cycled through saved content. When the kid came to pick up the laptop, the Photos app showed a preview pic with his girlfriend's butt and his penis clearly inside her. We quickly flipped the laptop around claiming that we forgot to re-enable something and turned off the live tile feature so that the pics would show up. None of us that worked on the laptop said a thing to the kid or his dad when they came to pick it up. I hooked up with a girl from work and she asked me to fix her laptop. I found her wedding photos on there. Always check the ring finger, guys. The marriage was a sham from day one. She married him for a visa. They were sleeping in different rooms and that wasn't the first affair, but yeah, she was still married. Most certainly a dysfunctional one. It was a pity. We really fell for each other but couldn't be together. I was on a visa too but couldn't bring her under mine. She wanted to leave him but it wasn't as simple as just walking out to be with me. There was a house involved. Divorce isn't simple, etc. We ended it because it was just too complicated to work. In another life under different circumstances, I'd have married that girl. Welcome to Raid Shadow Legends. If you're wondering just what you're getting into, Raid Shadow Legends. I don't fix computers, but my parents gave me a task of fixing the family computer. Few clicks here and there and I ended up on my sister's other Facebook account. She was selling herself over on Facebook. She posted her prices and schedule. She also had 100 plus messages from guys asking to meet up. I felt so sick. I told my dad, expecting him to talk to her about it. He ended up kicking her out that night. Our family hasn't been the same since then. My friend has a 10-year-old brother who wanted his computer fixed. It wasn't anything major, and all I had to do was clear and back up his files. I then decided to clear his history, because that can sometimes be a thing that slows your computer down, so I opened it. There was a ton of adult films in his history, mainly really messed up Asian cartoon stuff. Worst of all, he caught me looking at this shit. He got mad at me, and we never brought it up again. My brother works on laptops and one time a guy came in to get Windows 8 put on his computer. This man was an old family friend, and while he was backing up files he found a video of the man's daughter. I won't go into details of what it is, for the sake of keeping my blood pressure down. But my brother immediately alerted the authorities and the man is now serving a 12-year prison term. He's just lucky my brother was at his place of business, or I believe he would have killed him instead of calling the law. Used to work at a small computer repair shop. Every now and then you'd find porn or something like that, nothing too unusual. The worst part was usually the physical state of the machines. As a courtesy, the shop I worked for would always blow the dust out of systems that came in. Smokers' computers were the worst. Years of tar and dust buildup just would not come loose. There was one system that as soon as we opened it, we saw dozens of roaches inside. We quickly closed up the case. Taped up all openings, stuck it in a bag and fumigated it. There was this other time that a customer brought their system in for weird performance issues. Turns out that their cat puked through the side vent all over the motherboard. Customer wanted to pay for us to clean it rather than replace it. I don't fix computers for a living, but my first home computer was one that used to belong to my dad. He did not do a very good job deleting his old files and I stumbled upon his porn collection. I wish I hadn't. Dad is apparently a pervert. I used to work for a Native American tribe, and the tribe's lawyer was an a-hole who demanded to be waited on hand and foot. One day I was surfing through the program we used to remote into other computers and it will take a screenshot of the last thing the computer was doing. There it was, he was looking at chicks with D's. I notified my supervisor, which he notified his supervisor. I was told to look the other way. I gave up. You want me to enforce policy on other users but not him? So I found a new job and quit. Someone once brought in a cooler to the repair shop. I was completely confused. Asked awkwardly if I could help the guy. Guy opens the cooler and hands me a freezing laptop that's keyboard is literally bowed out because of the ice that formed in the motherboard. Apparently the guy spilled water all over his computer and his friend told him to put it in the freezer so it would turn into a solid. Dumbest thing I have ever experienced. Not me, but one of my brothers in IT. He worked at a third-party Apple dealership. And was doing a data transfer for a customer from their old machine to their new machine. They would set people up with their photos in iPhoto, as part of these data transfers. When they were importing the photos, iPhoto shows each photo for a second as it imports. Most of the time, people will just minimize the window to respect the privacy of the customer. Well, that didn't happen and there were gigs and gigs of the customer, middle-aged mom, engaging in sexual acts with a dog. The worst part was, he had to help bring their new iMac out to their car when they came in to pick it up, and in the car was the dog in the pictures, looking like a very sad doggo. He was really upset by the experience and needed to take a few days to reset. I found some shady stuff on a company's server and brought it to their HR manager's attention. Her response led me to end our business with the company that day. She really wasn't interested in hearing about it and told me that if I ever wanted to work for another company not to say anything or she would blackball me by calling every other large firm in the area. Long story short, I found proof that an employee was stealing from the company by taking royalties from a vendor that deliberately botched a project and was charging the company every month to fix it. Guy wouldn't give his password for a security conversion. Eventually he coughs it up. It is Lisa's 15. Naturally, me and the other guys start joking around about who is Lisa. Some of us bet his wife, but others think his admin assistant, because he was so shy about it. We got a pool going about it. Someone had money on mistress, I went with admin assistant myself. So we go to the company page for his advisor office, which has a little blurb about the staff. No Lisa. My coworker goes, must be the wife then. And goes to the biography page, which usually has the advisor's family on it. I yell over my shoulder, what's the verdict, man? The guys are all just groaning at whatever it said, so I get up and go over and look. There is a family photo with a caption, guy, pictured with wife Stephanie, 38, and daughter, Lisa, 15. We reported it to compliance. Thanks for listening to Tech Support for Perverts. Hit the subscribe button and activate the notification.
There you go. Wow. That's something you should know when you take your computer in. How's that information?
Wow.
I know people don't think that they whatever's on that computer, and they know. The guy's calling cops on you, too. See, that's why, can you imagine I do this show? Can you imagine the subjects I do? And they're going to see on this computer the pictures I download and titles that I do. Can you imagine that? It's like, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, we're out of here. Before we go, don't forget my new podcast is by subscription. It'll be on the website soon, mbponmindemand.com. So check it by Friday. And the first one I'm doing is, you're going to really like it, The Psychic of a Serial Killer. Yes. Hmm. And he kills all these people. And sound effects and everything. You're going to love it. And then I got another one, Inside of a Mind of a Serial Rapist. That's going to be a fun one. I play the rapist. I'm climbing in the window. And there's a barking dog. Bad doggy. Bad doggy. And I looked down, and it was a wiener dog, and he was bigger than me. So I decided to leave. Yeah. You're not going to get that on any other podcast. Telling you. Latia, before we go, would you like to say anything? Because you are so quiet. Would you like to say anything about the weekend or anything on your mind at all?
Just dealing with some family issues. Just found out that my aunt got poor circulation in her leg. I kind of feel like I started like feeling some type of way towards them, and the reason why I say that because, you know, this is my mom, like, dad side. So I feel like whatever's going on with my auntie, I feel like they should tell her and not keep it from her. First, like, her mom's side, like, you know, they so freaking phony. And, you know, she always been a black sheep. So I feel like don't start making her feel the same way like her mom's side did to her. So whatever really going on with my auntie, like, just let it. Lord, don't come to this girl feel like a couch. Come here.
Oh, baby. Oh.
But,
I know that sound. Oh, baby.
She fell off the couch. I don't know. I'm trying to be a stunt woman. So yesterday, you know, they get on this little conference call. And like my mama said, she said they want to talk about everything else but what really needs to be talked about. I was like, well, you need to give me the phone because I would say, so what's going on with Auntie Mae Mae? And like my mama said, she was like, they legit ignored her. So it's like now I feel some type of way because I'm like, my mama family too. Don't keep something that could be hurting my aunt
from her
right.
because she already her dad and her mom, so she don't want to sit here and lose, you know, my aunt. So I guess
mm-hmm.
my cousin told her that I didn't know people can die from poor circulation or whatever she said, but my mama don't really think she dying. But my cousin trying to make mm-hmm. it seem like she was dying or something. But my aunt, like, when you talk to her and you ask her a question, like, she'll go to a whole nother scenario. So I don't know. I hope she's not dying because, you know, she hasn't met my babies yet. So, yeah. And they're trying to put her in hospice, so I hope they don't do that either because I think when you put someone in hospice, that means, you know, they can get, they're going to get ready to go. But,
right. I'm sorry that you're going through that. It's tough. You know what I mean? It is really tough. But you hang in strong. Pray. Keep your friends close to you for support to get you through this. You know what I mean?
Right. And now they want us to come to California. And I say, why y'all always want us to come to y'all? Why y'all can't come to her? Like, we never been to California, but, yeah, we want to spend time with my auntie. But my auntie, she live way in Florida, so why would we go to California and we know she ain't going to be in California? So I'm just like, they over here trying to start me, and I'm with all the bull because I'll be the man.
Well, California is a good place. It's hot, but it's expensive.
Yeah, when it's not burning. Yeah, when it's not burning.
when it's not burning, you're absolutely right. I mean, every year we're on fire, kid.
And yeah, they want us to come to Victorville. But like my mama said, she don't got money growing on trees.
Yeah. Yeah, and if she did have a money tree in California, it'll be burning. It's on fire. But it's you know, the thing about it is you will get to California, and when you get to California, I'm the first one to buy you, take you out to dinner. How's that? Look at that.
That's even ill week. So I don't even know if you're in. What did you say here?
Yes, baby. Well, you're pretty young. I got a feeling you'll make it. I got a feeling you're only 24. You'll make it to California by the time you're 30. Trust me, you will. Ellen's been to California, right, Ellen? What do you think of California?
Yeah. I've been to California. Well, okay. Actually, my brother was born in Stockton, California, and I've been to Los Angeles. Me and Aaron have been to Los Angeles like 4 times.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You'll get to California. Yeah, you'll get to California. And if you were going to go to California, what's the first thing you would like to see, Latia, if you're coming to California? What's the first thing you want to see?
I don't know. Don't bite me. Don't you bite me.
Well, Disneyland, Universal Studio.
Y'all got Disneyland?
Yeah. Yeah.
I could have sworn I thought Orlando only had it, but okay.
Yeah. We were the first one to have it.
Disneyland came before Disney World, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what made them want to do Disney World? Duh.
It's the same person. Walt Disney made both of them, but Disneyland just came. He built Disneyland first.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. That's the statue with him and Mickey Mouse.
Right. Uh-huh. And then you got Magic Mountain, Universal Studios.
Universal's not the same as it's not made by Disney. It's different.
What is Magic Mountain?
Magic Mountain's inside of Disney.
Yeah, well, Magic
about Disney.
Because I only know Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom.
Really?
So I ain't never heard Magic Mountain.
Really? Magic Mountain had the biggest roller coaster rides. It's nothing but roller coasters and amusement parks and Knott's Berry Farm and movies and studios. And there's a lot of stuff like anything you want to do, like to go bicycle riding, go to the beach. You can even go to the mountains and do a little skiing. And all in the same day.
Okay.
It could be, yeah, it could be really cold up in the mountains, and then you drive down to the beach and it's 70 degrees, you can, and then go swimming in the same day.
Hopefully, though, it's not. Like I told her, I was like, I really feel like we should just spend time with her on our own and not mm-hmm. when everybody want to go, because I ain't going to front. I don't like my mama's sister. And we why I say I don't like my mama's sister, because when my grandfather was passed, was like, you know, in his last days, she decided to go to California instead of going to Clearwater. And we was able mm-hmm. to spend time with him. And then when we got back home, that's when he left in his sleep. So now that mm-hmm. is going on with my auntie, now she want to be Miss mm-hmm. Superhero. And like mm-hmm. I told my mama, I was like, if we don't want to go, we don't got to go. So that's how I just feel.
Mm. Well, I guarantee you, most people who visit California end up staying, mostly because of the weather. You know, it could get cold where you are. And California, it hardly even rains in California. I mean, if we do have rain, it rains 5 days and said, that's it, y'all. See you next year. So it's hardly that thing. You'll love it. Is it really? Yeah. I hear it's raining in Louisiana, too.
We got to get rain all next week.
Wow. Yeah, none of that shit. We got great weather. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to send
you
a
Friday. You got burning weather. You got fire weather.
Yeah, we do. We do. It is so, the humidity, and I'm sweating. Right now, I'm wearing a thong, and it's all witness.
Oh, God.
It's nothing but witness.
I thought you said you wearing a thong. Did you just say you wearing a thong?
That's right. I like to keep my buttocks free when I broadcast.
Men wear thongs? I didn't know men wear thongs.
I do. Men don't tell you that. Well, I don't like Speedos. I use a hammock. I call it, but you know, it's that little long thing that you put your package in and you got your ass sticking out. That's what I use.
Oh, my God.
I make it look good and cool. Then I got, you know
go
what I got?
Outside.
Huh?
Just don't go outside with your booty shorts.
No, I don't go outside like that. I put on my robe. You know what I mean? This merchandise ain't free, baby. You got to pay for this shit. I'm not getting out there.
You won't let him go outside without his clothes on.
Well, that's true.
You're becoming that guy.
Yeah, I know, but I put on my cowboy hat and I go outside with my hammock.
You trying to be like that? You trying to be a road cowboy?
You're damn right, baby. Ride the pony.
Oh my God.
Huh? Them
horses be thirsty. They ain't gonna be thirsty.
Oh. Hey. You should look at this. I mean, I'll give you a picture of it. Me and my cowboy hat and my banana hammock. You fall in love. Yeah, that's why they call them the hammer. Look at those things. It is hot outside. Well, that's the end of our show. And tomorrow, Latia will give you a review of me and my banana hammock with my balls hanging out. I want you to thank you for listening to the show. I want to thank Ellen for coming in. Ellen J. and More, that's her products. And make sure that you support
our family reunion.
Hey, Latia, you know what? Once you come to California, you can stay with me in a cottage house, if you know what I'm talking about, girl.
What?
Yeah, I got a cottage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and how are you supposed to get around Cindy?
That's why we're going to be in there. We can sneak off in the cottage house.
She ain't finna beat me up.
Well, just don't moan out. Nobody know. What are you talking about, girl?
What?
No.
She ain't finna beat
me up. I'm surprised Cindy doesn't come out of that bedroom and hit you up on the back of your head like Vinnie Barbarino. Or like Tony DiNozzo on NCIS.
I know. But you know what I say? Worth it. Ow.
Don't worry. She's going to get you one of these days. She's going to
buy. She will, won't she? She will. She'll give it, she'll buy a pocket pussy that's full of herpes. Use this.
Yeah.
I know she will.
Her grandbaby's
going
to bop you on the bottom, and
she's going to
get you on the top.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. A pocket pussy full of herpes. Going
yeah. We're going to see you guys tomorrow. The lovely Latia, everybody. She'll be working with us soon. And Ellen J. and more. Don't forget to shop there. She got some terrific gifts. And our website is... Ellen Gifts and More. Don't forget to shop that, and she has some good products. Our webpage is working now. Next week, don't forget to subscribe to my podcast. These are some of the titles that you are going to be listening to that I am going to be doing, believe it or not. The one is Into the Mind of a Rapist. That's going to be the one. Another one I'm going to do is Dr. Death. I'm doing that one. This is a guy who's a real doctor, and he fucked up a lot of people.
Why are you doing all these morbid things? Why can't you do something happy?
Well, I am. There's one that says, do no harm, and that's another doctor that's killing people. These are Killer Psychic, Episode 3. Oh, that's my favorite one I'll be doing. Killer Psychic, Episode 3, The Lipstick Killer. I'll be doing that one. That's the third one. So the
killer.
Lipstick
Killer.
That's right. What's that, Ellen?
I said the lipstick killer. Didn't they catch that person?
I think they did, because these are all true stories. These are all true stories. See, I wouldn't be a good rapist because I would bring the wine. Hello, would you prefer Bordeaux or white? What do you mean? I don't drink. Well, after the fucking, you might want to have a drink. You might want to loosen up.
You know what you would be? Remember that episode of Flintstones where Fred got jealous of a kissing bandit? He would kiss the women. And he would leave a rose. The Wilma would say, that would be you.
That probably would be me. Name this singer. That probably would be me. Well, you know what? That's our show. I got
well,
no more.
Okay, what happened to Name This Singer?
Well, I think you've got to already know the singer. R. Kelly. And I was trying to find him. I like R. Kelly.
My heart's telling me no.
My body's telling me, I'm trying to find it, and I can't find it. Wow, I'm just so messed up. Rihanna, Love on the Brain. I can't find this stuff that I really want to play, and it's getting too late. All right. Oh, here we go. You know what? You know, I'm going to leave you with this. Because I relate to the R. Kelly song, and I know that Latia loves the show, and she probably says, well, who is this guy? Well, you look him in the eye, you said that he's the greatest. That's who I am. You know what I mean? Hey, Latia. Do you want to feel greatness? Well, do you? Do you?
Come on. Brian, you should do your Gorka.
I should do my Gorka. Greetings and salutations. Do you want to feel greatness? Because I am the greatest. I am the greatest. Feel the greatness, baby. Be great. Feel great. See you guys tomorrow.
I am a tall tree, I am a swift wind, sweeping the country. I am a river, down in the valley, I am a vision, and I can see clearly. If everybody ask you who I am. Just stand up tall, I'm in the face and say, I'm that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest. I am an eagle, oh, I am a lion, down in the jungle. I am a Majin band, I am the people, oh, I am a heaven hand, I am a hero. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's up against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest.
In the ring of life, I'll reign love,
I will reign,
and the world will know it, I can't.
Everybody have a great night. Have a safe day. Support our artists. And Latia, California is always waiting for you, darling. I may be by that time, I may be in a wheelchair dribbling on myself and pissing on myself. But
you
guess
is
what?
Not only in a wheelchair. Don't speak that on yourself.
Just move me around and I'll be fine. You guys have a good day.
You too.
All right, baby. Talk to you guys tomorrow on Bright. I think we have a guest. No, we don't. We'll have more subjects tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Right out there. Bye.